much about.
Looks like another homosexual party boat.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIG!
Oh, man!
Joe Rogan, everybody! Joe needs to smoke more pot!
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Now, are you going to be leaving soon? Because you're kind of harshing everybody's buzz around here.
I love me some weed. When I smoke it, I go crazy. I love weed.
Is that the whole story? I don't understand what this is about. This doesn't make any sense.
Is there nothing sacred? Have we lost our moral center? This makes me want to pee on someone.
Barcelona. Barcelona.
America, you asked for it. Here it is.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And now a CBS special presentation.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Whoa, only in America. Wow.
Roll another one.
Well, guess what?
It's hammer time.
Just like the other one.
Hey, Cat.
This one seems to be about to quit.
We've got ourselves a
winner. I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Oh my God, really?
Roll.
Did you see the memo about this?
This one seems to be about cement.
I got a taco right here.
I don't have another cent.
Give it up for Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
But don't bogart that joint.
We've got vomit.
Just pass it around.
We've landed on the moon.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
Just pass it on down.
And now, you cannot run around so casually using that word, okay? Rape is for special occasions.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, that's nice. that hockey announcer.
He's the best.
Was the best. Was.
Doesn't do it anymore.
The man
he
came down
it?
On him.
What happened?
Nope. Just he stopped doing it.
Do we think the man came down on him? Because I never heard the reason why he stopped doing it. And for folks who don't figure out what we're talking about, the hockey announcer for the Florida Panthers, wasn't it?
Yep.
He, every time a goal was scored, would scream something absurd into the microphone, some sort of pop culture reference or something like that. And it was hilarious. It just made you look forward to those games so much. And then for whatever reason, this season, maybe even last season, he wasn't doing it anymore. And that was his catchphrase.
He would yell, "He shoots, he scores! Leave Brittany alone!"
You know, what the hell?
It was so great. And we started playing him and we had him on. And I don't know. And then all of a sudden, the next season, I started taping their games because I wanted, and it was just straight. He stopped.
And it was so popular that they were putting them up on the Panthers website after every game so that people could, hear the ones they missed.
So if they were getting that kind of attention, I doubt he just chose to stop.
But if they were getting that attention, why would they ask him to stop?
Know.
I mean, I never would have heard of them otherwise.
I know. I hear you. I don't know.
Lisa wouldn't even known there was a hockey team in Florida if it hadn't been for
that's
that.
Absolutely
he
true.
He quote movies and stuff. I mean,
he was really good.
That was ridiculous.
Pour some sugar on me.
I mean, come on. Right?
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
All right, that wasn't so good. But
you're my boy, Blue!
Well, I miss him.
Professional play-by-play, not funny. And it's a shame because some of them could be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Know. Hey, it's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got an enormous program that we'll tell you about in a moment. But first, P. Diddy in the news. He's being sued for date rape. Okay?
Oh.
And tell me if this smacks of maybe perhaps not being the most credible charge in the world.
Okay.
24 years ago.
What?
He's being sued this week for a date rape 24 years ago that the woman claims produced a son who's now 23. So she wants, you know, she wants a lot of money for her and she wants child support for a kid who's 23, by the way.
What?
I don't think
Doesn't that run out at 18?
Is it there?
Yes. And isn't there a statute of limitations on suing him for date rape? Maybe there's not civilly. Maybe it's just criminally he couldn't be charged. So already I got red flags going off. Now, look, if you're date raped by Diddy, which by the way sounds like an awesome band, Date Yes. Raped by Diddy.
I'm not sure.
If you're date raped by Diddy, is it possible a year goes by and then 5 years goes by and then 10 years and then 20 and then at 24 you go, hey,
I don't
wait
think
a minute.
So. This is not a funny topic, rape.
No.
Because it really does destroy people. But so maybe it took her forever to be able to face it, but I agree with you.
24 years?
Red flags.
24 years?
I agree.
Red flags.
Red flags all over the place, and especially because he's got money.
Right. Okay, now let me throw this into the mix and tell me if this is a further red flag or if you perhaps, I mean, let's say right now you're listening to this story and you're going, yeah, it seems unlikely. It's not how I would play it, but I got to take this woman seriously. You know, she's the victim, and if that's what she says, it certainly is worth an investigation, even if it was almost a quarter century
ago. 30% believer and 70% don't. That's where I'm
okay.
at.
Okay. Right. She is also alleging in her lawsuit, again, filed in New York this week, that Diddy conspired with his ex-girlfriend Kim. You remember her.
Sure.
She was crazy. And Rodney King from the L.A. riots.
What?
And the three of them are responsible for bringing down the World Trade Center.
Okay.
All right. Same lawsuit.
Believe went right down to zero.
Yeah.
Really? Because it could have happened.
Not believe went right up to 100.
Diddy and Rodney King could have gotten together to bring down the World Trade Center. Right?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
She also claims that she won a lot of money at a casino in Mississippi and that Diddy has the chip to the money and that so she can't get it to cash it in and it's worth $100 zillion.
Oh,
she also says that in her lawsuit.
Oh, come on.
Hey. Doesn't a lawyer have to write up a lawsuit?
This is never going to see the light of day.
That guy should be disbarred.
I agree.
How dare you? It's $1 zillion and Diddy's got it.
Well, listen, if it's $1 zillion, it's not something you just let go, right?
Okay,
I'd hold on to that for 24 years. I'd still be angry about $1 zillion.
So if Diddy has the $1 zillion chip that she's trying to get back.
Which they make a lot of, by the way, in Vegas.
They do.
A lot of $1 zillion chips.
So this is a casino in Mississippi, more likely to be paying out that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
If she's going to get the $1 zillion chip back, if her lawsuit is successful, then why is she requesting? This is what she's asking for in the lawsuit against Diddy. Now, again, date rape. 23-year-old son bringing down the World Trade Center. She wants $1 trillion. That's what the lawsuit is for.
That won't cover a zillion.
She wants $900 billion in child support and $100 billion for loss of income.
Well, you got to figure that compounding interest really does add up over the years.
Oh, that's a good point.
And considering he stole a zillion, I mean, he's pretty lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting
off
easy.
That's low.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm no lawyer here, but I think it looks bad for Diddy.
Yeah, he's certainly going down on this one. $1 zillion. I wish that. Do they fine people like that, Bean, for wasting the court's time? Or is there any recourse?
There is. I think lawyers are sanctioned for
frivolous
lawsuits.
Frivolous lawsuits. But I don't hear about that very often, and I think that's the type of thing that should be done regularly.
I do too.
I think every lawsuit you file, you should know that there's a very real risk that if you're wasting the court's time, you're out.
Well, and if there's ever a poster child for that, it would be this woman. This
yeah. Case.
That's awesome.
I don't know, man. I don't know why you're down on the victim. I want to hear more of what she has to say.
Are you not entertained?
I am entertained.
Are you not entertained?
Yes, I'm entertained by her, not by you. I would like more on that story as well, Bean. If you could do some research, that would be great.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Well, there is a hearing. The judge accepted the filing.
No,
and
he didn't. Why did the judge accept the filing?
That doesn't make
and
sense.
There is a hearing on January 31st, apparently.
Oh, that's such good news.
Which is next Tuesday, so we'll keep our eyes peeled.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Chicks love wang bone. Why do you think they have strap-ons and things of that nature?
That's a good point.
Things of that nature.
I hadn't thought of that. Did you watch any of the Winter X Games last night, Bean? Mm.
I did not.
The Superpipe, Shaun White?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Comes out and gets a first run, qualifying, gets a first run of 90. Next closest is 80.
Yeah.
Nice.
I saw Sal tweeted afterwards. He said, there's a lot of hate for Shaun White, which I was not aware of, by the way. But the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
So he still brings it. Why would there be any hate for Shaun White? He's the best thing that ever happened to that sport.
I think what happens is...
He's the best thing that ever happened to all sports. No,
I think it's probably jealousy, just from the standpoint of there are a lot of great snowboarders that are almost as good as him. And they get zero press because he's there.
Yeah. You know, and he's on the cover of Rolling Stone and Dayton Models and everything else that comes with that.
Every single promo that you see for the Winter X Games, every single one, the summer as well, is Shaun White. Shaun White. So I can imagine that there's got to be some jealousy built up. So he takes his first run and gets 90. The next closest is 80. So he goes again for a second run and gets 92.66 or something. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's no one close. Which is crazy. God. And Scotty Lego, who we talked to this week, the guy had his jaw wired shut, and he went and did pretty well. I didn't see. I think he qualified for the final, but just watching him going, that guy broke his jaw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Those guys are unbelievable.
They really are.
Yeah. They can do anything.
And for the most part, they're super, super, super cool. I'm surprised to hear that they hate Shaun White, but I could totally see why. I mean, they go to Shaun White for reaction shots. In between, there's Shaun White. He's coming up later. I mean, it's 90% Shaun White coverage. But
and let me tell you something else about Shaun White.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
That's true, too. That's true, too. We have on the program today the star of The Mechanic, Jason Statham. Very exciting.
He's pretty dreamy.
Love that.
Yep.
I don't know that I'd call him dreamy.
He's dreamy, from my point of view.
Actually, I was heading for teasing the Winter X Games today. I don't know why I just did that. But Tucker Hibbert, we have on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the snowcross. That's where that whole story with Shaun White was leading.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good. Movie Beat on the program today. It's Friday. We've got LaQuisha taking a look at Jersey Shore last night. We have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network talking about the hype that is the Pro Bowl.
Oh, can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. It's all anybody's talking about.
For those of you who don't follow football, it is the All-Star Game, and it's the week before the Super Bowl now. They changed it. It was a week after because no one cared. And still no one cares. It's in Hawaii, and it's this weekend, but the Super Bowl is next weekend. That's what everybody's waiting for. We'll talk to Psycho Mike, who is on Regis and Kathy Lee, or whatever that show is.
Regis and Kelly.
Okay, and we have some live music from Cage the Elephant.
Ooh.
Yeah!
In studio today, so pretty good show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 47 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 551.
The band Social Distortion, a national treasure as far as I'm concerned, stopped by the Kevin Amin Show late in the program yesterday. We talked to them. They performed live. We got highlights for you. If you missed it, coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show.
I love them so much.
A national treasure.
They're very talented.
They're national treasures.
They are, but don't throw around national treasure so easy, man.
I'm a treasure protector.
I considered it before I said it. Right. I think they've earned that after 30 years together. Mm-hmm. All right, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin Amin Show. What you talking about?
You know, no higher compliment could be paid to a rock band, really.
National treasure?
Yeah.
You guys are a national treasure.
Yeah, do we rock hard? Do we shred?
No, but you're treasure. You're precious.
It is something Sarah Palin would say.
Belong in a chest buried. Because you're treasure.
Oh, speaking of precious.
Oh, no.
This Charlie Sheen, this rapscallion.
Oh, man.
This rascal.
He's in trouble, isn't he?
He's spectacular.
Yeah. He's never in trouble. No, he's not in trouble.
Yeah, he's not in trouble.
It's just a regular week for Charlie Sheen.
This doesn't involve handcuffs or any jail time.
Yeah.
It just involves him being rushed to the ER early yesterday morning. Apparently, from several sources that would know, because they're porn stars and they were there, Charlie had been hosting a 36-hour cocaine orgy binge at his house. Had invited a few friendly neighborhood porn stars over for the party, and
does he know every porn star?
He makes a point of it.
I mean, does he just have a Rolodex of porn?
There was a girl at this particular party he's been hunting down for like a year, and finally was able to book her appearance at his house.
Yeah.
And they say a gentleman showed up who had a specially made custom briefcase. And he popped that sucker open, and there were several bricks of cocaine inside.
All right.
They were delivered Wednesday morning, and let's just cut to the chase. Charlie was rushed to the hospital. Had to go to the ER Thursday morning. He was seen leaving his house holding a towel to his face. No one had known what had happened. His rep says that he was suffering from severe abdominal pains. And now the story is he's got a hernia.
What?
They say he has a hernia. From lifting all that heavy cocaine.
They're not admitting to any of the drugs, are they?
No one has said anything about drugs except for the girls who were at the party.
Yeah.
Huh. What would they know?
I would like to know how you get a hernia doing blow and banging hookers.
Yeah.
Unless you got a really fat hooker and you're trying to lift her into the bed.
Well, I could do it.
Or you're doing so much blow you start sneezing and you just burst your abdominal wall because you're retching or sneezing.
Or that's not what it is.
Or he doesn't have a hernia.
Right.
At some point, Ralph, does CBS have any responsibility to step in and go, we're halting production on the show and we're sending you to rehab?
Well, the story is they've been
wanting
to do that for some time. Well, of course they have a legitimate reason to do so, Kevin.
But you would think that.
And I'm sure he's got conduct policies in his contract.
Yeah.
And he is responsible for the income and livelihood of hundreds and hundreds of people on that production. That CBS also has to consider those employees above and beyond Charlie.
Yeah.
Is he putting their livelihoods at risk with this behavior?
But that show also makes a certain amount of money that I'm sure they don't want to give up.
And if you want to continue to make that money, don't you have to keep this guy out of jail and or the morgue?
Yeah.
Is it in your best interest if he gets, at least, healthy, at least reasonable?
You can't really make anyone go to rehab, so I don't know.
That's not true. Ask Ted Williams, the Golden Voice.
What they could do. Yeah, that worked.
But he has been functional, even though he apparently has been abusing for a long time, allegedly. He has certainly been functional. He's been showing up for work almost all the time.
Yeah. And by all accounts, producing on set.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's not any less funny, that's for sure. He's the same amount of funny he's always been on that show, which is flatline.
I think he is funny on that show.
Yeah, well,
I do.
I know. You were checking out the new Ashton Kutcher movie last weekend, too. So.
One of the shows interviewed John Cryer last week, his co-star in 2.5 Men, and he said, I don't know what the hell is going on. I get up, read the paper like everybody else, and can't believe the stuff that I see that Charlie's involved in, and then he walks in on the set and does his job. It's got to be such a weird, like you said, Ralph, hundreds of people sitting around looking at their watches going, I wonder if he'll make it today.
If I was Cryer, I would just so be on his doorstep.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd grab him by lapels and say, look, asshole.
This show's been working.
I've had 18 failed series, okay? I have one hit in my TV life. Don't F this up, or you'll be snorting my boot. Which Charlie said, oh, chop it up, dude.
Yeah.
I'd like to try that.
I'm not sure Cryer's the guy to pull that off.
Probably not. He doesn't seem
such a nice guy.
Too surly.
Right.
Speaking of dudes who know how to party, how about Kiefer Sutherland?
Uh-oh, is he back?
A guy who had to pay the price for his behavior, but apparently has learned from it. He doesn't drive and drink anymore, which means he never drives.
Right. I was wondering which one he gave up.
Yeah. He was recently seen in a cocktail lounge in New York City with Chris Noth, who, by all accounts, also knows how to bend his elbow.
Yeah.
And Jason Patrick, another legendary imbiber. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen were cocktailing, and Kiefer Sutherland heard Gary Wright's song Dreamweaver on the jukebox and got so excited. He loved that song so much, he bought shots of scotch for everyone in the bar.
Wow.
That's the guy I want to party with.
Wow.
Woo, Dreamweaver!
Drinks for everybody!
Oh, come on, I want to drink with Kiefer Sutherland so bad. Interesting TV news.
Hmm?
This comes from the Wall Street Journal. It's about the TV news.
Oh, I see.
Fox News in particular. Apparently, there's a coalition of rabbis who are asking, rather firmly, that Fox News stop casually referencing Nazis and the Holocaust in their coverage. They took a full ad in the Wall Street Journal asking, could you please stop calling everyone you disagree with Nazis? Really kind of takes the edge off the whole real Nazi phenomenon that happened back in the 30s and 40s. Specifically, they say the examples they cite are Fox News head Roger Ailes, who called NPR executives Nazis when they fired Juan Williams, and Glenn Beck, who uses that term all the time.
Right.
But specifically, he was describing George Soros, and if you don't know who George is, he is he's an elderly billionaire, a financial wizard who was born in Hungary, came to America, made his fortune, and supports a lot of liberal causes and Democratic candidates and that kind of thing.
Does he have a show on that?
No, he's a private individual. Oh, okay. He's a business guy. But Glenn Beck referenced him as a Jewish boy helping send the Jews to the death camps.
Because he supports liberal candidates.
Well, because he also was a 14-year-old Jew hiding in Nazi-occupied Hungary during his youth.
And that's helping what?
I don't know how Glenn thinks that was him sending people to death camps. He was hiding for his life back during World War II before he moved to America.
Well, so, how dare he?
Yeah, I know. How dare you hide?
Hide for his life.
So Anyway, we'll see. No answer yet from Fox News regarding that. But one of the hosts over in Fox, Megyn Kelly, said that we simply don't use that kind of rhetoric.
Please.
That was the wrong move when Jon Stewart is paying attention to what you're saying. Jon has responded by putting together an impressive string of clips showing Fox News pundits repeatedly calling people Nazis, including Megyn Kelly herself. So maybe you want to be careful what you say when people are watching. That's all.
Is she one of the ridiculously hot ones on Fox News?
They all are. I can't tell apart. They're all supermodels. And hot.
Yeah. It's the hottest network for news that's in English that I've ever seen.
It really is.
Guys, we need to get the band Coalition of Rabbis back together, too.
We really should.
Those were good times.
Good times. We have to reinvent our sound, though.
Get Charlie Sheen back in.
That's right.
You know?
And good news for people who are looking forward to the upcoming Charlie's Angels reboot TV series. Looks like we have our three angels in place. Deadline.com is reporting that casting has been completed for Charlie's new angels. Apparently, a girl named Annie Alonza, who was formerly of General Hospital and has done a bunch of other acting, too, she is in the cast. Okay. Rachel Taylor from Transformers, the second one I believe she was in. She's also in it. She's a smoking hot blonde. And Friday Night Lights star Minka Kelly, apparently.
That happened.
One of Charlie's new angels. So,
that's fantastic.
There you go. They're all in place, and they're all going to be carrying guns and wearing bikinis, and I couldn't be happier. Robert Wagner has been tapped to play Charlie, the voice over the squawk box that gives them their orders. And no word yet on who will play Bosley, though, the bumbling goofball who used to somehow on the team also.
What did he do? He was the head of the house.
He was the liaison between Charlie and the girls. He would he'd help them con people and set up stuff for him and everything. He was sort of the male secretary of the group.
They should also do a reality show of Charlie's Angels with Charlie Sheen and just all of his porn stars.
And call them the Angels.
Yeah, great idea. Follow him around.
I forget the guy who played it on the series, Bosley. I always think Tom Bosley, but that's the guy from Happy Days. That was the dead on Happy Days. But it looked a lot. David Doyle was his name. Looked a lot like that guy on the show. And then famously, Bill Murray played it in the first Charlie's Angels movie.
Oh, he was Bosley. That's right.
And then he quit, and it was taken over by Mr. 3000, the guy from Ocean's 11, black guy. Funny guy.
Don Cheadle?
Passed away.
Bernie Mac?
Bernie Mac, yeah. He was the one in the second one. So. I'm just saying, looking for a Bosley. I got nothing to do.
Ross has you covered with the Bosley information, by the way.
After 10 a.m., I'm good. So I don't know when you guys are shooting. But
that was more Bosley information than I was looking for, to be honest.
I just want
to
show. I know my Bosley, that's all.
Okay. You certainly do.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Alan Alda, who was on MASH for many, many years, 75 years old today. Catherine Morris, star of Cold Case. I don't know if that show's on anymore or not, but it was real good. 42 years old today. Joey Fatone of NSYNC is 34. Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys is 31. Actor Elijah Wood, he was last seen walking up a hill holding a ring, I think. He is 30 years old. And little Ariel Winter, the smart one on Modern Family, the very funny girl who wears glasses. Who's the smart one? But she's a really talented actress.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's 13 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, Ralph Garman is here with the movie beat. Also, LaQuisha recaps last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. Boy, I bet they were wildly inappropriate.
I bet there was some fighting.
And X Games athlete, he's in the snowcross, don't you know, Tucker Hibbert joins us coming up after the top of the hour, too, on the Kevin Bean Show.
All right, it's time to read some email. We get email from time to time. This one fascinates me because tickets have not gone on sale yet for the Big Four, which is going to be an amazing show out at Indio with Metallica and Slayer and Anthrax and one other band.
Megadeth.
So this email starts, Dear Mr. Kevin, I'm going to get to the point and ask for two tickets to the Big Four concert at Indio. I will pay, but I haven't been able to get them. And then she goes on and on.
Right?
Now, the point is that they haven't gone on sale yet. So if you're willing to pay, then when they go on sale, then try and pay.
And it sounds like you are well poised to get them if you have the money and are willing to put it down for the tickets when they go on sale. Maybe that's a good time to put that plan into place.
Right, that's a good plan. Go ahead and try that. Now, maybe she's afraid that they were going to sell out too fast. She wouldn't get tickets, whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But she didn't say that. She just really wanted two tickets for her son.
Yeah, that's 10 a.m. today.
10 a.m.
when tickets are on sale for the Big Four. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting follow-up from longtime Kevin and Bean listener Gray. He writes to us about the topic we discussed with the NFL, or maybe it's Jerry Jones at Dallas Stadium. I'm not sure which, but they're selling $200 spots in the parking lot to watch the game outside the Super Bowl stadium.
I think it's the NFL.
It's the NFL that's selling.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, we were mocking that plan. As of yesterday, I heard they've sold more than 5,000 tickets.
Wow, that's going to suck.
To people who are willing to pay $200 to stand in the parking lot and watch it on TV. And the listener who wrote in, Gray, brings up a fantastic point about the $200 Super Bowl parking lot thing. They'll be in the parking lot watching a game on TV on a 30-second delay, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Isn't the Super Bowl the reason for the 30-second live TV delay? Because of Janet Jackson. So you'll be standing outside the stadium. You'll hear the crowd going bananas inside the stadium and have to wait 30 seconds to see it on the big screen, which in his mind adds insult to injury to the people who have already been suckered into $200 tickets to stand in a parking lot.
Wow.
Isn't that a great point? Because, of course, you're going to hear what's happening in the stadium, but you won't see it.
We should figure out a way to start a Twitter campaign or something so that everybody inside chants, "You're not in here." That'd be awesome. Do you have one about the Mexicutioner?
I do.
Running short on time. I apologize, but
Dave, the King of Mexico, has decided that he's going to become the Mexicutioner. He joins us in studio right now. Dave, hey. What happened briefly for folks who weren't listening yesterday? How'd this come about?
Well, I saw the Joey Beltran, the fighter. I saw his nickname, and I wanted it. So I just said, hey, I'm going to be known as the Mexicutioner from now on.
Okay.
And that's how it happened? That's how it works?
I tweeted it, and everyone started calling me the Mexicutioner now.
Sure, yeah.
So, well, I love the Mexicutioner. I think it's a fantastic nickname. I support your campaign to be the Mexicutioner, but you know who doesn't? The real Mexicutioner. So he tweets you and says he's going to what? Allow you to use it for a short time, and then he's going to kill you?
If I give him a shout out on air, which I did. So I'm for 10 days, I'm the Mexicutioner.
All right. So this email from Brent begins, Dave's new nickname as of day 11. As soon as the real Mexicutioner takes his nickname back, hopefully by excessively brutal force, here's what you do. Dave, in an acknowledgement of both his past and his ability to colossally F everything up as assistant producer without even once taking responsibility for his actions, from that point on should be forever known as the King of Mexcuses.
The King of Excuses. That's fantastic.
Which I know you hate, but it's way better than what Ralph has been calling you, which is Mexlax. So you're going to have to at some point decide the lesser of two evils, Dave.
We might need to open that up for email.
Listen, I was thinking, I am the King of Mexico, so the Mexicutioner probably works for me. So
good luck with that.
You know, I can take it if I want it.
He's going to kill you is what I know. And finally, this always cracks me up when Bean mocks me and people think he's dumb. I was talking about Portugal, and I watch a lot of soccer and Fox Sports Channel, and they cover Spain, and they cover England, they cover Italy, everywhere around there, but they don't ever cover Portugal. So for me, for some reason, I just thought it was in South America. So, and one day that I said, "Oh yeah, Portugal, South America," and Bean just mocked me, rightfully so.
Well, I think we've all brought it up several times since that original incident happened. It's kind of an in joke now that Kevin thinks Portugal's in South America.
Right,
so I guess it came up again this week, right?
Please tell me that was a joke. Bean said it at the beginning of Thursday's show. Portugal next to Argentina. Let's recap. This guy's very angry, by the way. South America, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia. He keeps going. Names them all. There's no Portugal there. Please make Bean pay for his mistakes when he tries to sound smart. I listened to the podcast from Spain, in parentheses, which is next to Portugal. So I'm a day late on this stupid things Bean says. Thanks for the show, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
So how many of those did you get, Bean?
I got probably 10 emails from people saying what an idiot I was for making the Portugal reference.
Yeah, he was mocking me.
I accept your score. Apparently, I don't know anything about geography.
Well, you should bring up the fact that I'm the one that thought that would might save.
Dude, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. You already got a heavy. Okay, here my whole thing. If your father used to be the president of the United States,
that was a TV show.
Don't you try to stay out of trouble.
That was
with Charlie Sheen.
That was a TV show.
Martin Sheen was the president. I don't know if you remember or not.
West Wing TV show.
I can't remember when. I think it was just before Clinton. I'm not sure. I'm fuzzy on the details.
People are going to yell at you again, Bean, for being dumb.
There's two Charlie Sheen stories at the top of TMZ.com today. One I think is hilarious is that he wants to create a porn family. Charlie Sheen, according to TMZ, wants to buy a huge house down the street from his own house and have all of his favorite porn stars live in it together.
I like
So that whenever he's in the mood, depending on what he's in the mood for, he just gets in his car, drives a mile, and I'll take the redhead tonight.
He's just a visionary.
He thinks he can just build a harem. That's thing A. And thing B, by the way, is he may have enough money to do that. And then the other story at the very top of TMZ.com is Casey Jordan, who I am now sad that I am not familiar with her work because she's way hot. But apparently she is a high-end porn star, and she is just blowing the lid off of what a Wednesday night at Charlie Sheen's house is like.
Yeah, this is the night he got rushed to the hospital, and she was telling the TMZ cameras the story of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And a blow-by-blow account, if you will, as they say at the top of TMZ. She starts by challenging Charlie Sheen to a drinking contest. Now, I don't know much about Charlie, but I would not challenge him in a drinking contest.
No, I would lose.
Willing
you will
to
lose.
Bet, yeah, that's not going to go well.
And I said, I can beat you. I'll beat you in drinking. And he's like, bullshit. And I had just made myself like an all vodka drink, just all vodka with a splash.
Uh-huh. And by the way, she's showing it's not a shot glass; it's like a full glass. It would be a double if you're ordering it in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pure vodka with nothing else in it. It's like a shot, but it's a double.
And he grabs it from my hand. I love the guy, right? Yeah. Grabs it and just starts he chugs it in like 3 seconds.
Just shoots it. The whole thing done, gone.
Well, he's a professional.
He is a professional.
You're not surprised if Kobe Bryant dunks, same thing. This is his skill.
Right. So why is Casey Jordan saying I can outdrink you?
Right.
Come on now.
Know your audience.
And by the way, she genuinely seems like she loves the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, she's not upset about it or anything.
Why wouldn't she love the guy? He's a party. He's got all the booze, all the drugs she could possibly want, and he's probably paying her $10,000 to come hang out with him.
I guess when you put it that way. So she says later in the night, so they're drinking. Later in the night, a phone call was made. A professional-looking guy shows up, she says, with a Gucci satchel. That's how she described it. And there were eight balls as big as my fist and just too many to count. Just poured them out on the table.
God, you know, that's something you heard about from the 70s.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't really happen today, does it?
She estimated about $20,000 worth of coke.
Mm. Wow.
And that's what you hear at the beginning of this clip.
20 grand, I swear, coke. And then the drugs began, and then, you know, rolls into the morning. Yeah, this green pipe, it looks like a bong, like, for weed, but, like, I don't know. He just, like, took a chunk, because these are huge rocks, and just sliced it off. And then he, like, shoved it right into the pipe and was... smoking the coke. And I'm like, I've never done that before, blah, blah.
Okay, so she's never done that before. She's never smoked the coke before, so Charlie helps her out.
He comes over, like, come over, give me a kiss, and he blows it into my mouth, and I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like, out of my mind crazy.
All right, good.
By the way, it sounds like Charlie is treating this lady pretty nice.
Right.
Showing her a really, really good time. Very uncool to step outside on the sidewalk and start spilling these kind of details. Look, ladies, part of the reason we pay you the $10,000 to come hang out with us and do drugs and drink with us is discretion.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
If she likes him, she wouldn't be saying this, right?
Right.
It is bizarre. I do like her sense of play, though. She's willing to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, she's a goer.
So then they go to Charlie Sheen's home theater, a huge home theater, which he apparently has the world's largest collection of porn in. And they start watching porn. So it's Charlie Sheen and like five or six porn stars.
Okay.
And they're watching porn for like 2 or 3 hours. Just straight porn. And Charlie was, like, critiquing it, camera angles, all kinds of different stuff.
It's a huge theater. I think that's all he does is probably sit there and watch porn.
And what did he do while you guys were watching the porn?
All right, what did he do while you guys were watching the porn? So it's Charlie Sheen, six super hot porn stars, watching porn. What would you do? What do you think he did? Right?
Well, took care of things?
Right. You'd think that would be the beginning of it all.
He wasn't doing anything. Like, he was just he just had his little green pipe with him the whole time and just kept hitting it.
Okay, so he was just... It was crack.
Wow. Wow.
That's how you know you're doing too much crack.
Yeah.
You got six of the hottest porn stars in the world in your theater and you're watching porn and you'd rather hit the pipe?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's troubling. And by the way, I mean, who's with me? There's no reason to watch porn beyond, I don't know, 8 minutes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
3 hours.
You don't blow a whole movie. Come on.
And he didn't even... try.
How about that? Well, I mean, again, it's hard for us to put ourselves in Charlie Sheen's shoes, but he already had sex with five porn stars that day, so probably,
that's
right?
That's probably true.
But, you know, there is a thing when you start using a lot of drugs like that, you can't. Sometimes.
That's possible. Right. I remember when we saw Snoop, we were at the Playboy Mansion, we saw Snoop, and he was so high that there was a bunch of girls coming up to him topless, and he couldn't even. And I looked at him, and I thought the same thing I just thought about Charlie. You can be too high.
Yeah.
That's the definition. I don't want to be too high where I don't realize that there's naked chicks there or that
exactly.
There's porn stars there in the theater.
Yeah.
So that's what she says. about that happened, mm-hmm. Charlie Sheen, this past Wednesday night. So good times were ahead.
I'm not sure what you'd have to pay me to attempt a backflip on a snowmobile, but I think it would be more than you have, to tell you the truth.
I would love to see you try it.
We'll talk to a man who makes a living doing just that. Coming up after the top of the hour, one of the X Games 15 athletes competing is Tucker Hibbert, and we've got him on the show in a few minutes here on the Kevin Meacher. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It's not easy being rich and famous. Just ask Rupert Grint. For those of you who don't know, he is the redheaded kid from the Harry Potter movies.
Ah, sure.
Plays Ron in that successful series of films. And he says he is ready to leave his Harry Potter days in the past. Rupert says he's going to shave his head bald or dye his hair now that the franchise is over. He says it's hard because he's so recognizable with his red hair.
Sure.
That he needs time for a change so he can be someone else.
I can understand that.
Can you?
Yeah. Didn't Hermione go through the same thing?
Until he's back at Comic-Con signing autographs for $25 a pop. Then he'll be happy to be redheaded. He'll buy a redheaded wig, whatever it takes. Dude, you got the world. You win. You win. Stop being grumpy.
But after seven movies or whatever it is,
right?
He probably doesn't need the work, right? He'd probably just enjoy the rest of his life, I would imagine.
But if you're so panicked you're going to shave your head or dye your hair, I don't think you're enjoying yourself too much.
Yeah, maybe not.
Relax.
Maybe
not. Be like Fergie. Fergie loves her fame. Fergie loves being rich and famous. It always does my heart well when I see someone who is successful, who really can just appreciate the fact that being rich and famous is one of the positives in life.
Has a lot of benefits.
It has many more positives than it has negatives.
Look, there are negatives, obviously.
Obviously.
But
there's negatives to being...
We don't want to hear about
obscure
it.
Obscure and poor, too, by the way.
A lot more.
With a lot few ups and right. A lot of the same downs.
You want to talk about the downs, talk about it with somebody else that's famous.
Fergie says she doesn't moan and complain about being famous or rich because one of the perks is she likes to get a lot of free stuff. She gets a lot of free clothing. Mm-hmm. Designers and stuff, give her stuff to wear. She doesn't have to buy any clothes anymore. People just give stuff to her.
That's
Isn't
funny.
It funny when you get rich, people give you a lot of free stuff?
It's funny how that works. She could afford to buy anything, and now they give it to her for free.
Here's one of the reasons. When she grew up, she was very poor, and she had to wear clothes that were donated to her family by the local church in her neighborhood.
So even when she was a kid, she didn't pay for clothes.
That's right. She's always had free clothes.
It's lucky bitch.
She,
that's kind of a cool perk.
She was so poor when she was a little kid, she had to have her humps donated to her as well.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Her lovely lady lumps. She had to use someone else's hand-me-down lady lumps. You don't want that.
Nope.
No. Mark Wahlberg is taking it all in stride that he was the only actor in The Fighter not nominated for an Oscar this year.
Yeah, you're right. The only one.
Of the major
of
four
Of the main four,
roles,
yep.
He got passed over come Oscar time. Here's the funny thing. A lot of people talk about the snubs around the Oscars this year. No one is mentioning Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
that's
like, true.
How did he not get nominated? This is ridiculous. People are talking about Chris Nolan. A lot of people are upset about things. No one seems to mention Mark very much.
And Mark did put in the 5 years and play an extremely credible boxer. I mean, he certainly worked hard on the role.
Sure. That's for sure.
He says he couldn't be more thrilled for his on-screen partner, Christian Bale, and his nomination, as well as for Melissa Leo and Amy Adams. He was also served as the producer for the film, so I think he thinks he has an overall sense of pride regarding everything connected with it, so it might be a little bit easier for him.
Yeah,
but he's impressive the way he's developed into quite the media mogul in Hollywood.
He sure is. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Alan Alda, legendary actor from many, many years on a TV series called MASH. I think MASH ran for 12 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Did it really well.
The Korean War, which was the backdrop to MASH, lasted about three. The series lasted longer than the war did. You don't see that very often.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ralph, would you put that in the... Where would you put that in the top TV shows of all time in terms of quality? Quality impact, maybe.
Impact would have to be high, high up there. Quality, it's not aging as well as you might think. It's not holding up. As well as you might think. It's a little heavy-handed, I think, at some parts. But for its time, if you look at it in context, it was one of the great comedies.
If they were to come to you ahead of time and say, we're going to make a comedy about the Korean War, you'd go,
No.
That's the Hogan's Heroes phenomenon.
Exactly.
Imagine if someone came to you today and said, okay, ABC, I got an idea about a Nazi war camp with American prisoners in it. It's going to be funny, and the Nazis are going to be crazy, and everybody's going to... They could escape, but they won't because they like it there.
What's
what
the
say?
Tone? Wacky.
It's
It'll
crazy.
Be wacky.
They're wacky Nazis. It's all about that funny, funny World War II Nazi thing. What do you say?
Well, I don't know how those ever got the green light.
Yeah, good times. Sarah McLachlan, singer-songwriter, she's 43 years old. Joey Fatone of NSYNC is 34. Nick Carter of Backstreet Boys is 31. A lot of boy band members celebrating birthdays today. Elijah Wood turns 30, and Ariel Winter from Modern Family, she's 13 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, what's up? Tucker Hibbert here. Well, I got started with racing when I was about 8 years old. I had a mullet when I was in, like, sixth grade. Tried to push myself anytime I was out riding and pretended like I was racing.
Snowcross superstar Tucker Hibbert.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about X Games. I mean, every year that's kind of our peak of the season, you know? We use all the other races as build-up for the X Games event. You know, I'm not doing anything totally different than anybody else. I'm just trying to do it a little bit better.
Tucker Hibbert is the man when it comes to snowcross racing.
Tucker Hibbert, the first ever four-peat in Winter X snowmobile history. You've got 5 golds, 9 total medals. I just got to ask you, how did you do it?
I just got an excellent start, man. It was wild. I got there first, but couldn't get slowed down. I got tagged. Almost lost it over there on the first lap, but man, I put it together. At you know, I just kept plugging away, plugging away, plugging away, plugging away, plugging away.
Winter X Games 15 is finally here. Kicked off last night, going through the weekend at Buttermilk Mountain, Aspen, Colorado. Very excited to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time, Tucker Hibbert. Hey, Tucker, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, I know you were watching the Super Pipe last night. That's one of your favorite events. How'd it go? What'd you see that you liked?
It was pretty cool. You know, they had men's Super Pipe snowboard qualifying last night. It was pretty insane to watch. I wasn't there in person, but I watched it on TV. It's amazing how high those guys get out of the pipe. They go bigger every year.
And Sean White is just stupid good. I mean, really, really unbelievably good. Speaking of which,
he's got a lot of talent.
Speaking of which, I want to just quickly go over your record in the snowcross. 2000, you won gold. 2002, you won silver. Then you won bronze in 2003. Then silver, then silver, then gold, then gold, then gold, then gold. So that's pretty good as well.
I like the way the last part sounds.
Gold, 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 right?
Yeah, you are on a little bit of a roll right now, that's for sure. Snowcross is an interesting sport to get into, and you are one, maybe I'm dead wrong on this, but we talked to a lot of X Games athletes. You're one of the few who's a second generation snowcrosser. I mean, your dad was heavy into this and was very good as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. My dad, you know, was a professional racer throughout his, you know, the peak of his career, had a ton of success. And actually the first year that I won gold, the first year I competed in X Games in 2000, I was racing against my dad. He ended up fifth place in the same main event. That I
won. No kidding! Wait, you got gold that year.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. You know, for actually 2 seasons, we competed against each other as professionals. So, you know, it's kind of rare, you know, for that situation to happen, especially at the level, you know, the professional.
Yeah, no
level,
kidding. Like it's that. Like it's like Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. when they played on the same team for a couple of years. You're right. It's very rare in professional sports. Now, Kevin, you were saying right before we brought Tucker on the air here that snowcross is in some ways your favorite X Games event. How come?
Well, because most of the other events are single people out there doing their thing. So on the super pipe, you know, Sean White will go and they time him and the judges watch him and then somebody else goes. This is snowmobiles and how many are in the race? 10, 12, Tucker?
There's 15 guys.
15 guys lined up side by side, and they just go, all of them. And they bump into each other, and that first corner, just like in motocross, is crazy ridiculous. People get knocked off their snowmobiles, and it's just the wildest, craziest event, I think, at the Winter X Games.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, just like you said, there's so many guys out there. There's always something exciting going on. There's, you know, if there's a big gap between first and second or second and third, you can look back in the field a little bit, and there's always going to be an intense battle for a position somewhere during the race that you can watch. And like you said, with that many guys on one track, there's bound to be something exciting going to happen.
You get hit every race, don't you? At least in the first turn. I mean, I imagine you get bumped and hit a lot.
The first corner can get a little hairy sometimes. You send 15 guys in there on modified snowmobiles going really fast. I mean, it's there's going to be some contact, and you know, I always just hope to get there first and not have to worry about getting tangled up. But it happens.
Right. Now, Tucker, there's so many things that are involved in being a snowcrosser. Of course, you've got to have the skill on how to drive the thing. But I would imagine you spend a lot of time with car guys, with engineering people, trying to figure out how to maximize everything you've got going on in your snowmobile, particularly when you're in a place like Aspen that's got such a high altitude. That's got to require some adjustments, yeah, too, right?
Yep, definitely. You know, I race Arctic Cat snowmobiles, and we're on two-stroke engines right now. So, you know, it takes a lot of work to tune the machine to run the best it can at altitude. So we spend a lot of time, you know, testing and tuning and practicing at the elevation that we'll see it at Aspen, you know, before the event. So when we get here, we're ready to go. And it takes a big crew of guys. I've got about 8 or 9 guys that work with me full-time through the winter to make sure our equipment is the best it can be. And, you know, that's something that's kind of unique to our sport compared to the snowboarding and skiing and other events at X Games is, you know, the support crew and the equipment that we have to, you know, have with us to be able to compete is takes a big operation.
How much does a snowmobile weigh?
Snowmobile's about 450 pounds, so they're pretty heavy.
So 15 it's of those side-by-side.
Yeah, it's about double the weight of a motocross bike and about double the power as well. So power-to-weight ratio is about the same.
Unbelievable. This is the voice of Tucker Hibbert, by the way. We're talking about Winter X Games 15, which, as Kevin knows, is all over your TV.
Yep.
It's all over ESPN and ESPN2 and ESPN3D. Tucker is going to be attempting to set a new record for the most snowmobile gold records in Winter X Games history, and he's going to be competing on Sunday at around 9:30 West Coast time. Hey, there must be a lot of pressure on you because all Winter X Games athletes are crazy to get into some freestyle stuff, but you've avoided that. How come?
Yeah, I'm just not very good at it. It's you know, if you see me doing tricks or my arms or legs coming off, it's usually something gone wrong.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, not always on purpose. So if I'm doing a backflip on Sunday, you know that something's going wrong.
I saw a guy last night.
I'm just motivated about racing. You know, I really enjoy the challenge of trying to, you know, be faster and better as a team and as a rider than the other people. And freestyle is its own beast, and it's cool to watch, but it's not something that I'm interested in doing.
I saw a guy last night do it where he jumped up and he turned around and landed backwards. He was backwards on the snowmobile. Which is ridiculous.
They're pushing the limits every time. It's pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah. Well, every day this week on the Kevin Amin Show, we've talked to a different Winter X Games athlete, and we've said the same thing in every interview, which is the beauty of your sport and all the sports of the game is it's almost like it's reinvented every year. They push the limits so much, and that's what makes it a must-see event. Check out ESPN.com or XGames.com, Winter X Games 15, underway now and through the weekend in Aspen, Colorado. Hey, it's great to finally get you on the show, Tucker. Thank you so much for spending the time on the Kevin Amin program. We enjoyed it, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on. And like you said, there's always something exciting to see. So hopefully everyone can either check it out on TV, online, or in person because these athletes are amazing. I'll be cracking open a Monster Energy on the line and letting it all hang out on Sunday.
Sunday morning. All right. Thank you, man.
Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
That is good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Oh, too much show still to come, including Cage the Elephant performing live in our studios next hour on the Kevin Amin Show. Also, LaQuisha breaks down last night's Jersey Shore. That's coming up.
I don't know if you saw it last night.
I did not.
Boy, was that a goodie. That was a goodie. You know, they're doing a Jersey Shore in England now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
With their own cast?
With their own people. The Geordie Shore, it's called.
Oh, good.
And the Geordie's a section. It's near Newcastle. It's sort of like the Jersey Shore for America. And it's going to be a bunch of stupid Brits living in a house.
Okay.
So they get that going for them.
That's a good trend. I'm glad we're exporting this. I'm glad this is what America's now known for. Anyway, that's all coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. It's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
There's an intro. I know there's an intro.
Supposed
sound
to be
like the movie beat
I
at all.
I know there's a movie beat intro.
And yet we've been scrambling. We can't find it. So, and now it's time for the movie beat with Ralph Garman.
We play it once a week.
Here's Ralph Garman.
For years
with the movie beat.
Psycho Mike is in charge of all that, and he's in New York on the TV. So we're just getting by as best we can here,
and
Ralph.
Now it's time for the movie beat.
All right.
With Ralph
I have not seen
Garman.
Any of your movies.
Some guy playing ping pong.
Couple new movies coming out this weekend. First one's called From Prada to Nada.
Nope. That's not
see
happening.
See what happened there?
That is not happening. That's not a movie. It's
it
not happening.
It is a Latina spin on Jane Austen's famous book, Sense and Sensibility, about two rich, spoiled sisters are left penniless and they have to go live with their poor relatives. And this is an updated Latina spin on that with Camilla Bell.
I don't want to hear that noise ever again.
And Alexa Vega from Spy Kids. She's all grown up and she's in this movie. And these two girls, they see they're spoiled. They have Prada one moment, and then when they're penniless and they have to move with their estranged poor aunt.
Then what do they have?
In the barrio, then they have nada.
Oh, that's crazy.
So they go from Prada to nada.
How do they do it?
Magic. Here's a scene from the film where Alexa Vega is describing herself.
So, you're Mexican too?
No, my parents.
Oh, what are you?
American. Of course. Well, and Mexican, so Mexican-American.
Oh.
American-Mexican. My dad was more Mexican.
Tell me more about you.
Well, like the color red. My iPod is full. I don't wake up before 10, and no hablo español. I love poetry, pasta, and Prada.
See, she's okay. Spoiled.
Wait, that sounds like the worst movie ever, Ralph.
You are so wrong.
So is really? She spoiled?
She's spoiled. She has Prada. But then later in the movie.
Then what does she have?
She has nada.
All right, I have this now.
In a world. I don't need it now.
Okay, sorry.
Also opening this weekend, The Mechanic, or as we call it in my neighborhood, The Mechanic.
Yeah, you don't call it that.
Yes,
any.
We do.
No one calls it that.
Danny Trejo and I call it The Mechanic.
The Mechanic.
This is Jason Statham. He plays Bishop, who's a mechanic. But you think he's fixing cars? No, you'd be wrong. Because mechanic is actually an underworld term for an elite assassin.
Oh.
He's got a strict code of ethics and a unique talent for fixing things. Wink, wink, if you know what I mean. Fixing. Wink, fix. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, fix, fix.
So he makes things better than they were?
No, he kills people.
Oh.
He has got a mentor, played by Donald Sutherland in this film. And Sutherland's kid, played by Ben Foster, approaches him after his father's murder to avenge his death. So the surrogate son and the actual son sort of team up to get vengeance for the death of their mentor slash father in this film.
Well?
What's so good for your son?
Those were my two best teams. I guess I'll have to send more.
Save the fuel. Coming for you.
Yeah, I'm coming for you.
Coming for you.
Coming for you. Save your fuel. Coming for you.
Wow.
I'm going to sleep in, though, because I don't do interviews too early in the morning.
That's what we found out today from actor Jason Statham.
I may call in later if I'm awake. If not, then odds are you won't be talking to me about my movie. The
we had him scheduled an hour ago, and then he went, no, that's too early.
Yeah, I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. That. Maybe I'll call those fellas later.
I love him, and I love the sound of this movie. This is going to be great.
Yeah, it's a sweet shoot-'em-up action-adventure popcorn film. So you got that.
So he had Prada at one point, and then he lost everything. Now he's got
nada. You're one behind. This is the mechanic. I got to keep up. And he, nobody does action like Jason Statham. I think he is the best action film star working today. He's the guy who is the completely believable when you see him in these roles.
I think so, too.
Which adds so much to these films, because you kind of have to get on board in order to really lose yourself in them. So I'm looking forward to that. And also coming out this weekend, if you love Satan, then this is the movie for you.
If you love Satan.
Yeah.
Okay, this is for that group.
The movie's called The Rite. Anthony Hopkins stars as a priest.
Oh, this looks so scary.
Who may or may not be getting possessed by the devil. He's dealing with a young American priest, seminary student, named Colin O'Donohue, and he is investigating exorcism. He doesn't quite believe, like Anthony Hopkins does, that these cases can be real. He's more of a cynic when it comes to demonic possession.
Sure.
And the events in this film may change his mind.
Ooh.
Here's Anthony Hopkins and Colin O'Donohue talking about a particular case.
Oh, she doesn't respond to treatment. Is she on antidepressants?
No, she's pregnant.
Don't you think she should see a psychiatrist again?
What about these nails?
It could be that she swallowed them beforehand. It hurt the baby. She clearly doesn't want it.
What about the voice inside her? That wasn't a human voice, or was it? You be careful, Michael.
Why?
Choosing not to believe in the devil won't protect you from him.
Ah!
Oh, dude. Awesome.
Ah, devil! Ah!
Can't wait.
Then the devil has Prada, and nope, then he ends up with nada at the end.
It's a whole different
thing. He has to move in with his poor relations.
At what point is the devil
east side of hell?
At what point is the devil in an elevator? What happens with that one? When did that?
That was a different film.
Oh,
you guys are confused.
Sorry.
I'll tell you, we don't play the intro, and it goes all to hell. This whole segment.
I have it ready.
I don't need it.
In a world,
I don't need it now.
Okay. All right.
So I'm picking this weekend The Mechanic or The Right. I don't think you can go wrong with either of these films. Can't go wrong with The Right.
See?
There you go.
They should put it on the poster.
Oh, I got to get that on the DVD box. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman Movie Beat.
The band Cage the Elephant setting up in the next room. They're going to be joining us shortly to play live and be interviewed here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're lucky guys this week. With Social Distortion in here yesterday. Cage the Elephant today. Can't wait. Jersey Shore has been massive this season. You know, it had higher ratings than Grey's Anatomy 2 weeks ago. That's how big Jersey Shore is.
It's a much better show.
On MTV. I don't watch it, but I do enjoy talking to our girlfriend, LaQuisha, who reviews it for us every Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, LaQuisha. How are you?
Why aren't you watching this show?
I have enough stupid white people in this job. I don't need them on my TV at night.
Not this stupid, you don't.
That's true.
Well, maybe you're right about that.
And when I do it, I just give you the highlights, but you're missing out on the finesse of this show. You're missing out on the special, smaller qualities that I don't have a chance to talk about.
Yeah, they have subtle nuances that Bean just can't pick up this
exactly.
way. Yeah, sure.
Remember last week's episode, JWoww and her boyfriend Tom broke up, and he took all her stuff out the house. Took the bed, took her jewelry, took her hard drive. That's not a euphemism. It's a computer thing. And she is so upset that she decided she's going to change the locks on the house. And luckily, Snooki's there to help her.
Tom has keys to the house.
Thank you.
So me and Jenny decided to get her a new knob.
Yeah. The last thing either of these girls need are more knobs.
That's true.
That's true.
They get plenty of knobs.
They need less knobs.
They need less knobs.
That's correct.
Well, watching these two girls try to put new locks on the doors in the house was like watching a couple of chimpanzees trying to build a space shuttle. You would have thought it would be the most difficult thing in the world to take one lock out of the door and put another one in.
Me and Nicole are trying to put on these locks. To top latch, rotate front of latch 180 degrees. For bottom latch, press spring. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh. Reading instructions for them must be like trying to do a Rubik's Cube or something with the blindfold on.
They're like scientists.
They are. So we get back down to Jersey Shore, and it turns out that Ronnie and Sammy are fighting.
Are you kidding?
What? No, it's hard to believe. What? I thought they were the perfect couple. But Sammy's drunk, and she's saying all kinds of outlandish things to Ronnie, and he's upset. So she goes downstairs to get him a piece of pizza as a peace offering. She's going to bring him up something to eat. Well, she did not know she committed a cardinal sin. For somebody who's very much into his GTL.
Uh-oh.
I don't get an apology. I'm sorry. I'm not a hug or nothing. I get piece of pizza. Not a protein shake. You bring me pizza, of all things. Really?
How dare you?
What is it? What? He's upset because she brought him pizza?
And not a protein shake.
What?
How dare she contribute to the thickening of his waistline?
A pizza
hey,
is
if I
the
had a
best...
woman bringing me pizza, right. I wouldn't be complaining about
that's
it.
Best that's best case right. scenario.
A girl who feels sorry and has got pizza?
Right.
You'd always be lucky to have that kind of woman.
Right. That's a win-win.
Well, turns out that the other guys in the house are going out to the clubs at night.
What?
And picking up strange women and bringing them home.
Oh, this is completely different than I...
And some of them are not attractive. And they have a term for those women.
Yeah.
They call them grenades.
Uh-huh.
Well, this season, they have brought with them a vuvuzela. I'm familiar with the vuvuzela.
Oh, no. That was that annoying thing from the World Cup?
That's right.
Yeah.
They got one of those just in case there's an unattractive girl at the house. They can let everyone know.
Can someone explain what the horn is?
You'll see.
Tonight, there's a grenade running around the house. So I got the grenade horn in the house that lets Seaside know when grenades are present at the Jersey Shore house.
The grenade whistle! Grenade whistle!
Grenade whistle!
That's a grenade whistle.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Bean!
When you thought the show couldn't get any more annoying, they added a vuvuzela to it.
Exactly.
Very
exactly,
poorly.
LaQuisha. Oh, that is so good.
Well,
and
Sam,
the other guys call it a whistle.
Sam is still angry at Ronnie because not only did they fight, but now Ronnie is friends with JWoww again. And you know JWoww and Sammy are sworn enemies.
Sure.
So she can't stand for that. And she starts grilling Ronnie about whether he really is friends with her arch nemesis or not, and things get a little out of hand.
I'm calling home. Are you friends with her?
I don't want to talk.
Are you friends with her or not?
I don't want to talk to you.
This is my last time trying. Are you friends with her?
Yeah, she punches him in the face.
Yeah, with a closed fist.
Yeah.
Yep.
She loads up and smacks him right in the jaw.
Yep.
She's a delicate young flower.
Yeah.
Well, as she starts to sober up, she recognizes that may not have been the best way to communicate her feelings to her boyfriend.
I feel like I owe Ron an extreme apology. Punching Ron in the face, getting upset that he was talking to Jenny. That was a bad thing.
Was it? Are
wow.
you sure?
Wow.
Did someone hit your nose with a rolled-up newspaper? Is that how you knew that it was the wrong thing to
I'm
do?
I'm surprised she knew.
Were you raised by Lucha Libre wrestlers? Damn, girl! Well, they're having their problems, and she may be leaving the house because she can't take the pressure anymore.
Oh, man.
So a way to liven things up, Snooki decides to go out and buy something to help renovate the house, or decorate a little bit, class the place up a little.
Nicole has this idea to buy a stripper pole for the house, and I want the stripper pole. This house needs a stripper pole. It's not that sturdy, like no fat girls can go on it, but it would be pretty funny.
Yes, finally the house is complete.
Wow.
They have a stripper pole in the living room.
But isn't Snooki going to be the one on it most of the time? And isn't that, do we not need to see that?
We don't need to see that at all.
Come on.
However, Dina, the new girl, may be the one who's the most wild in the house. Because all the boys go get a haircut at the barber shop, and it turns out the barber is friends with the guy that Dina is currently seeing down there on the shore. And how do I phrase this?
Uh-oh.
You might want to get your finger on a, whatever, the editing button or whatever you guys use
okay.
there.
All right.
I will do my best, but okay. You know how you can kiss somebody on the mouth?
Yes.
Okay. When you really, really like somebody,
yes.
you may want to kiss other parts of their body.
Correct.
Understood, right?
Now, if a young lady wants to kiss a fellow
uh-huh.
somewhere below the waist.
Like knee?
Above the knee.
Okay, yes.
Somewhere okay. in between the waist okay. and the knee.
All right, we got you, all right.
And she's not in front of this fellow. She's behind the fellow.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you get what I'm getting at?
Yes.
Yes.
Please tell me that wasn't on Jersey Shore last night.
Apparently, Dina enjoys this particular activity with the men that she dates. All right. You ever have a salad at a restaurant?
Oh, God.
We got it, LaQuisha. We understand.
Sometimes
we got the tossing.
Dressing on the side.
Yes, all right.
Sometimes you want the salad to be covered with the dressing.
Let's right. move on.
So they got to take like two tongs or forks or whatnot.
What do right. they do with it?
And they toss that
down. Right. Okay. Yes, they do.
It's a completely unrelated conversation.
We're relatively clear on this.
Okay.
All right.
One of the barbers says that Dina's man, announced that Dina likes to, you know.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
Now,
say no
this
more.
Is the kind of rumor that could stick with a lady.
Oh, sure.
This might follow you around.
Sure.
So Dina feels obligated to defend herself.
My teeth and my mouth is too precious to me to go down that way.
That's right. She cares for her teeth too much.
So she's denying it. Okay.
Dental hygiene prevents her from engaging in such activities.
All right.
So that's been cleared up. But the best news of the whole episode was that JWoww and Sammy, they have decided to bury the hatchet.
Oh, that's great news.
These two girls who were such good friends and then became such mortal enemies have decided that this has gone on too long. Can't we all still be friends?
That's great.
The drama between me, Sam, and Ron has gone on way too long, and now I feel like the house as a whole will have a better vibe.
Yes, the house as a whole and all the holes in the house now are going to be in a better mood. Oh, it's like watching We Are the World or something, like Hands Across America.
Bean, how do you not like this?
Like how do I not like this?
Come on.
Kittens being picked up by a rowboat in Katrina or something. That's the kind of warm feeling I got watching the show last night.
Unbelievable.
Especially the whole dental conversation.
Oh, that's the best ever.
You've ruined my entire weekend, but thank you for joining us as you do every Friday on the Kevin Beach Show, LaQuisha.
Bye now.
Spend an evening with the incomparable Bernadette Peters Saturday, February 13th in the intimate setting of the California Theater of the Performing Arts in San Bernardino. Call 909-885-5152 or Ticketmaster.com. Bernadette Peters, Saturday, February 13th. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Well, they know their audience. I think Bernadette Peters is a good sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's K-Rock at 7:53.
Rich Eisen, our man from the NFL Network, joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And live music in our studio from the band Cage the Elephant. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
I want to give folks a heads up. If you'd like to see me and Kevin Smith do our thing with the Hollywood Babylon Show, it is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Theater at City Walk and Universal Studios. We're doing our live look at showbiz news, as we do every week. We'd love to invite you to come out. You can go to babbleonralph.com to buy tickets. And if you want to come see us together, you may want to do it in the next couple of weeks, because then Kevin Smith is going on the road with his movie Red State. He's touring it around the country.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be gone for a while, so we won't be doing the show together.
Oh, you're going to do it by yourself?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
You should.
Maybe I will. It's kind of hard to do a two-man show by yourself.
Sure. You can invite your buddies Kevin and Bean to come down and be on it.
No, that wouldn't work. But I think maybe asking, you know, if some of our friends who come by the show, like Patton Oswalt or Adam Carolla or somebody, you know, to sit in, and maybe I'll have guest hosts. Like Regis does.
No, those are bad, though.
No.
Those are bad guest hosts.
Yeah. Of course, Psycho Mike is guest hosting for Regis Philbin on Regis and Kathy Lee today, or Kelly, or whatever the hell the show is.
Yeah, I don't watch it either.
But I don't either. I'm sure he's great on it. I'm sure the show's never been better. But the rumor is today they've already found a replacement for Reg.
Because he just announced he was retired like yesterday or the day before?
They may have somebody in the works.
I told Mike to claim it was him.
It's Mike. It is.
I told him to just go on the show and say, I'm the permanent replacement. I just thank you, everyone.
Lisa Rinna.
What? Really?
Lisa Rinna's name is being thrown about as the one who's going to be the successor to Regis on that show.
So it'll be Lisa and Kelly?
Lisa and Kelly. Two broads.
Hmm.
Nobody wants to see broads on TV.
Right? In the world of The View and The Talk and
what Bean
Lady
means,
Talk and Chick Talk and
what
all
Bean
their shows,
means is, it seemed to us like it would be a guy.
It would be more balanced to have a perspective from a man and a woman.
But right. I'm thinking, who's their audience? Maybe they know better than us.
Well, certainly
there's women
know.
And Bean.
That's true.
Right.
So. And I'm not going to be watching it anymore once Regis is off. He's the draw for me.
Yeah, I know. Don't look. Just let's move on.
Anyway, I'm just saying, there may be a new host.
What?
You guys watch basketball last night on TNT?
No,
did
I didn't.
Did you catch the Heat-Knicks game?
I didn't. I saw that they got beat, though. I like that.
Well, you missed the best basketball game ever. Not for anything that was happening on the court, but apparently during the pregame show on TNT, Tracy Morgan stopped by.
Awesome.
Spent some time with Charles Barkley and the rest of the crew there on the TNT pregame show. Here's the thing about Tracy Morgan. He's crazy.
Yeah. Bruce Cannon.
Yeah, he is crazy. He'll just say whatever comes to his mind.
And you don't encourage that if you're doing a live show.
But Charles Barkley's on there. He does the same thing.
I know, and he loves it. And he was the one who started prodding Tracy Morgan with a stick to get this magical moment. We've got a little piece of tape for you. This is after Barkley's talking to Tracy Morgan, whether he thinks Sarah Palin's attractive or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sarah Palin's good looking, isn't she? Yo, let me tell you something about Sarah Palin, man. She's good masturbation material. Glasses and all of that. Great masturbation material.
Yeah, the guys may not wanted to get in that conversation with Tracy.
All right.
I'm sorry, I have an erection.
Yeah. Let's get back to basketball now.
I'm sorry, you have too.
Uh-oh.
Charlie Sheen's magic in every way.
Yeah.
Look, we mock him. We taunt. We make fun of, yet isn't he living the kind of life that maybe a little bit deep down inside the fellas amongst us say, you know, that sounds like a good time.
For a while.
I think what Charlie does...
It would take 60 or 70 years of that kind of life for me to get tired of it.
Oh,
you're
okay,
right.
All right.
Yeah, no. After 60 or 70 years, I'd get tired.
But I'm saying I'm starting to get worried for his health. For
now. Oh, yeah.
Me too.
I mean, really, he's just about...
Look, just because he was rushed to the ER on Thursday doesn't mean he's not healthy. Sometimes you go to the ER just to visit, just to cheer up the other patients.
Did he go just to visit the kids?
No, it turns out he has what they call a hiatal hernia, according to his reps.
Okay.
Now, the hiatal hernia, for those of you who don't know, you may be familiar with the regular hernia, where your intestines start to burst through your stomach wall. The hiatal hernia is a herniation of the valve at the top of your stomach.
Oh.
So that inordinate amounts of acid start to splash up out of your stomach into your throat and esophagus.
That seems terrible.
Feels good?
It can be very painful.
That doesn't seem good at all.
Sometimes, and I know this is not the case with Mr. Sheen, it can be attributed to alcoholism or drug abuse.
Well, neither of those.
Yeah, neither of those. Okay, if you put enough poison into your stomach, eventually your stomach starts spitting it back out at you, basically, is what they say.
Your stomach is just going to say F you?
Yeah. So he was partying for about 36 hours with five or six porn stars doing, from eyewitness accounts, suitcases full of cocaine.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And then he had to be rushed to the hospital. But apparently they say all is well, and he will be on the set this morning. According to insiders over at...
He's unbelievable.
Two and a
half
men.
Iron Man.
He's the Iron Man of drugs and sex.
Did you see the excuse that they gave for the hernia? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
He was laughing too hard.
Oh.
That's what his rep said.
Well, when
had nothing to do with drugs.
When you laugh that hard.
He was really laughing a lot.
You can't help yourself.
So that's the excuse they gave.
Another celebrity medical update. Apparently, a pre-production on the Hobbit movies has hit a snag. Peter Jackson, the director of those films, had to be admitted to a hospital yesterday with acute stomach pains. Apparently, he was doing a bunch of blow with a bunch of porn stars.
No, that was true.
I'm confused. No, he had to undergo surgery for a perforated ulcer.
Ouch.
Yeah, his reps say he was laughing so hard that he actually perforated his ulcer.
Really?
So apparently, that's the new celebrity illness.
I like it.
It's not dehydration and exhaustion anymore.
Just laughing too much.
Just too much joy.
They should put our show on in the hospital. It'll get better soon.
That's right. It would calm down that laughter.
He OD'd on joy.
That's right.
Wow.
Look, maybe Charlie Sheen did. If I was in a my own home theater showing porn to a bunch of smoking hot porn stars doing copious amounts of blow and drinking copious amounts
allegedly
of alcohol, I might just be laughing my ass off. I would be so happy.
Sure. That could be.
So glad my wife doesn't listen at this time of the morning. Today's celebrity birthdays, Arielle Winter of Modern Family. She plays the smart girl in the family.
She's funny.
She's very funny. Yeah. Good actress. 13 years old today. Elijah Wood is 30 years old. Nick Carter of Backstreet Boys is 31. Joey Fatone, speaking of boy bands, he was in NSYNC. He's 34. Catherine Morris, star of Cold Case on CBS, is 42. Sarah McLachlan, singer, songwriter, and I believe she was one of the driving forces behind Lesfest they have?
Lesbapalooza.
Lesbapalooza. Lilith Fair. That's it. One of the driving forces behind Lilith Fair. She is 37 years old. And Alan Alda celebrates her 75th birthday. His 75th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. We couldn't be more pleased to welcome Cage the Elephant to the studios here.
Some of the elephant.
Well, the band is here. We have Matt and Brad in studio with us right now. The current album is called Thank You, Happy Birthday, which is, as we speak, sitting at number 2 on the album charts. Hey, who's number 1? Who's keeping you out of the top spot right now, you guys?
Cake.
Oh, well, they're pretty good.
Guys. We'll give it up to Cake.
Yeah, if it was Kesha or somebody, then you'd be bummed, right?
Yeah.
We would take her out like Monica Lewinsky.
Hey, don't talk that way about Kesha.
Well, congratulations, first of all. It's so, I mean, there's very little rock that gets bought and sold anymore. And Kevin and I are talking about this all the time. You look at the Hot 100 sometimes, and there's like 5 songs we play on it. I mean, it's just, we're living in a pop and a hip-hop world. So thank God there are guys like you and Cake and Social Distortion was in here yesterday. Thank God there are still some people out there that are making great rock music that people are responding to, because otherwise, I don't know what we'd do. I don't know if I could turn on the radio anymore if it weren't for bands like yours.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
A year and a half ago, you're a free download on iTunes. Hey, check out this new band from Kentucky. We'll see if you like this song. And then now look at everything that's happened. I mean, of course, you've worked very, very hard for it. But, man, it must just be so rewarding to see how it's come together for you.
Yeah.
It's been really crazy.
We actually never even expected things to take off in the States at all, because in the UK, it was such a grind for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And
So we started touring. It was tour. So
to try and build up a fan base.
Exactly, yeah. And after we'd been there for about 1 year and 8 months, then we started to get some radio traction, but we never thought that we'd have any and then radio songs rough in the United States.
Then you all played our song and we just took off.
We soared like eagles.
It's got to be rough, though, to be new and to have people come and not know what to expect and then try to win them over. That has to be a rough road, isn't it?
I think in England, one time we played, I won't name the band, but we played a show with not really our audience.
Right.
And a fan actually flicked us off the whole show.
The entire show flicked us off.
Good.
Good.
But I don't understand, guys. Maybe I missed a page in the bio, but why were you trying to make it in Britain before America? Because you were Americans.
Well, the Are we?
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
We're sleeper cells.
Your American accents are so good. Yeah. I thought you were local.
They're Russian spies.
Actually, the UK label that we signed with was the only label at the time that was offering 100% creative control. So,
No kidding. So you said, all right, we'll go with that.
Fascinating.
We figured we'd try to go over there first and build it up there and then come back with, you know, some kind of leverage or
so you said a year and a half. Did it get depressing? I mean, did you start thinking, it's been a year?
There were dark times. I mean, it was, you know, both good times and bad. So
I have like major SAD, seasonal depression or whatever.
Oh, do you?
Right? So the rain.
Yeah.
And actually, we got really depressed about the food, too.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
We used to sit around in our splitter van and, like, fake order Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have tonight, Brad? Like, oh, I'm having a double-decker taco supreme.
No, we literally had a game where we would go around the van.
That's
and
sad.
We'd be like, we're pulling up to KFC now.
Sad.
We were, like, fake ordering.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This is the voices of Cage the Elephant here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new album is called Thank You, Happy Birthday. They're going to be playing live for us in a few minutes. But you're so right. I've been to England a few times. And you're standing there in London. It's one of the biggest cities in the world. And you go, why can't I find anything decent to eat within 40 miles of where I'm standing right now? It's crazy, right?
It's sad.
Why are there no Taco Bells? That's my
right.
question.
Why does their ketchup taste so different? Seriously.
Does it taste?
It does.
Weird?
Yeah.
Just bad?
I don't like
I don't know.
It.
They work on everything but food. It seems like they don't care about their food. It really does. It's just like,
hey, but if anyone from the UK is listening right now,
that's highly unlikely.
I love your food.
That is highly unlikely.
Let's talk about this new album for a minute because I'm always fascinated to see when a band comes out and they have their whole lives to make an impact with that first record. And you guys put out an album that was very successful. You had two or three big songs that we played off of the Cage the Elephant debut album. And then you go, all right, what now? And you go into the studio, and most bands, you know, they pick. They go, do we want to keep doing what got us here, dance with who brung us, or do we want to just go for it and indulge every musical fantasy we've ever had? Yeah. And I suspect that that's what you guys did on album number two because it is everywhere, this record.
It wasn't just musical fantasies that we indulged.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
I mean, it's spastic and...
Nice.
Yeah, there you go, right? Hey, that's sick, man. They're brothers. It's spastic and it's crazy.
Stop touching my feet.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a safe record. You really went for it. You challenged fans of the first album to say, hey, are you man enough to follow me where we're going? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we just went through a big growing phase and... We had actually written probably 50 songs, scrapped them all.
Well, we didn't finish them. It was like song ideas and stuff like that. But
at one point you said we're not going to do any of them.
Yeah, well, there were like two or three that made it through that bunch. But for the most part, I don't know. I think we were really just kind of we were trying to write to a particular sound,
right? Which you can imagine.
Yeah, and I don't know. We started writing all these other songs that were like for so-called side projects.
My side project.
Like all the songs we liked were for side projects.
Right. How many side projects do you have?
10.
This is my band, Iki Aki.
Yeah.
So in other words, you'd start writing a song and you'd go, wow, I really love this, but it doesn't sound like Cage the Elephant as our fans know us, so we're not going to use it. And then at some point you said, hey, no, let's put this stuff on the record if this is what we're into.
Yeah.
All the side project songs became the album.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really, after we got a couple songs into it, we really started to move away from that kind of fear-based writing. And I don't know. We've been asked quite often here lately, like, if we felt any pressure coming from, you know, from outside forces. But mostly it came from inside the band, really, just to not repeat ourselves. Like, anytime we'd start working, after we decided to go in the direction that we were going.
Right.
Just let things naturally flow. Whenever we were writing something that kind of sounded similar to something that we had written before, we'd just scratch it away.
You seem to have sped up that process because most bands do 3-4 albums and then they don't want to repeat themselves.
This is
you
like
guys did one.
Yeah, but we have ADD.
Really, yeah, no bad. Kidding.
Really, that sped that up a lot.
All right, I'm trying to keep track. You've got SAD and you've got ADD. You got both of those?
Yeah. Our parents never medicated us, so it's in full effect.
that's only because when I was a child, they tied me to a chair and burned me with lit cigarettes.
Did they do that? That sucks.
They're like, I'll give you something to cry about.
right between my toes.
Tell me tell me what the process is involved in being a band that is on the bill at Coachella. Is this something that management calls up Coachella and goes, hey, we'd like to play? Or do you get a call one day that says, hey, we'd like you to be there? What happened?
We actually stood at the front gates just waiting for the promoter to come around.
He held a sign there. Up like homeless Ted Williams with a golden voice and said, we'll play Coachella for food.
Yeah, exactly.
I walked up to him and I had pictures of his family.
Nice.
And
I was like, I know where you live.
There's your grandmother. There's your mother.
He's like, this is bullcrap. These are all photos out of Walmart.
Now, do you guys know what time of the day you play? Because you're playing on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Saturday, April 16th.
It makes a big difference what time of day you play.
Yeah, we're playing at 6 in the morning.
I'm telling you. If it's 3 in the afternoon, it's going to be 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
And the sun will be right in your eyes.
We'll be happy with any slot
we
get.
Yeah. Did you guys hear, and I know you're very busy, and you were on Jimmy Kimmel last night, you've been traveling and the whole deal, but did you hear that Coachella sold out in 6 days?
I did hear that. That's crazy.
Already sold out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
High five.
We were shocked by that. But we think it was your doing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Awesome. They're like, Cage the Elephant is like the 20th down the list.
I've heard they're
going to
do something crazy on stage. Matt's going to catch himself on fire.
Yes, that is the rumor.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We have to take a break right here. The album is called Thank You, Happy Birthday, and it is great. You guys, seriously, you're going to love it if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet. The band is called Cage the Elephant, cagetheelephant.com. I know it's a crazy time of day to request this, but we'd love it if we could head into the other room and maybe you could play a couple of numbers for us.
That'd Sounds be awesome. Good.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's do it right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. What a tremendous honor today to have the band Cage the Elephant in our studios getting ready to perform live. The new album is called Thank You, Happy Birthday, which may be the most cheerful album title I've ever heard, by the way.
Thank you.
You can't see them at Coachella unless you have tickets because that's sold out, but you can hear them playing live on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. What number are you going to do first for us, guys?
Shake Me Down.
Let's hear it. Love it.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around. Who knows now? Softly laying on the ground. Ooh. Not a lot of people left around. Ooh. Ooh. In my life, I've seen people walk into the sea just to find memories plagued by constant misery. Their eyes cast down, fixed upon the ground. Their eyes cast down. I'll keep my eyes fixed on the sun. Shake me down. Cut my hair on a silver cloud. Broken sound. Softly laying on the ground. Ooh. Not a lot of people left around. Ooh. In my past, bittersweet, found no love between the sheets. Tasted blood, broken dreams, lonely times indeed. Thighs cast down, fixed upon the ground. Thighs cast down. Shake, turn a man to a light mode. Walk around the corner, never saw it coming. Say I tried to make a move, it almost stopped me from believing. I don't wanna know the future. I'm like rolling thunder, even on a cloudy day. 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 break me down. Not a lot of people left around.
About that?
Wow. Sage the Elephant on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always so interesting for me to hear a song that you know one way, to hear it like electric in that case, and to hear you play it acoustic. Is that how you guys write the songs and work them out in the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the songs are written acoustic first. Yeah. Yeah. Except for maybe like one or two songs.
Yeah.
On the new record, It's Always Something was written in the studio. And anything else?
Sell Yourself, I think.
No, we wrote that acoustic.
Yeah.
At the Band House. On Park Street.
Okay, yes, we did.
Yes, I have a good memory sometimes.
Sounds like it.
Matt has a selective memory.
I remember the smell was...
That sounded great, you guys.
Thank you.
We got time. You want to do another one?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Fantastic.
We'll do an oldie.
Yes, we'll do a song from the first record, No Rest for the Wicked.
You guys don't really have an oldie yet.
Well, oldie to us.
Okay, right. You know, an oldie from February.
Live Cage the Elephant on the Kevin and Bean Show.
When out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I've never seen a man who looks so all alone, or could you use a little company? And if you pay the right price, your evening would be nice, and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, and why you do this to yourself? She looked at me, and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. Ain't nothing in this world for free. No, I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking down the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind, he put a gun up to my head. He made it clean, he wasn't looking for a fight. Give me all you got. I want your money, not your life. You try to make a move, I won't be quiet. Told him you can have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask. That makes you wanna live this kind of life. He said there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. But no, I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Well, now a couple hours passing, I'm just sitting at my house. The day was winding down and coming to an end. So I turned on the TV and flipped it over the news, and what I saw I almost couldn't comprehend. I saw a preacher man in cuffs, he taking money from the church and stuff his bank account with righteous of bills. But even still I can't say much, because I know we're all the same. Oh yes, we all still got to satisfy those thrills. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. It ain't nothing in this world for free. Oh no, I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
There it is.
Nice.
So the message is, you can ask Matt for money. He'll give it to you, but he wants to know why.
Yeah.
He's an easy mark.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Cage the Elephant is the band in the studios of the Kevin and Bean Show. The new album is terrific, called Thank You, Happy Birthday. Don't miss them. If you're lucky enough to hold a ticket for Coachella, they're going to be playing on Saturday sometime, probably not 6 a.m. I think that may have been a joke, but that is sold out. Guys, congratulations on all the success, and we love the new record. And come back and see us anytime on the show, man.
Thank you guys
so much.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Our boy Psycho Mike Catherwood, not on the program today because he's in New York City filling in for Regis Philbin on Live with Regis and Kelly. So it's already aired on the East Coast. We'll see in a few minutes. And we'll talk to Mike coming up after the top of the hour and find out if he was able to make sweet love to Kelly, as he was predicting.
That was what he was saying was his goal.
First, though, Kevin, you were saying you need a little bit of help with your Pro Bowl office pool. I got just the guy for you. Our friend Rich Eisen, lead anchor for the NFL Network, joins us on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Rich, how are you, man?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Like I said, we just got the Pro Bowl fever. We just are so excited we can't stand it for this weekend.
Is that right? Well, I've got the prescription. It's called the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Super Bowl, right.
Oh, yes. I forgot they haven't had the Super Bowl yet.
That's the game.
That's coming up next week.
Rich, yes. I was just looking at your schedule next week, and it looks like you're working 24 hours a day for 7 days.
Well, our pregame show began 10 minutes ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. I hate to tell you, I've got to run. it's sort of, you know, our big week, you know. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year. And as our slogan says on NFL Network, it's everything but the game. So we cover the planes arriving like they're international dignitaries, both teams arriving in Dallas.
Right.
And we've got Media Day, which is on Tuesday, even though that's sort of a misnomer because every day is Media Day at the Super Bowl.
Right. This is the day they're supposed to give interviews, that kind of thing?
Yeah, where they are available for 1 hour, and anybody with a press credential can have at them.
Okay.
And that's
where they send, like, the gay guy from The Tonight Show to ask dumb questions of the players and waste their time.
Right, and that's where the NFL initially got introduced to the reporter who the Jets
all over Inez Sands or whatever her name is
every year, and it's an interesting time. This will be the time where Roethlisberger gets all the questions about his off the field problems for the week.
Will he answer any of them?
Sure, I'm sure he will, but what the problem is he sits on the podium for an hour, and the first few questions will be about that, and then 20 minutes later, there'll be a reporter from Denmark who wasn't there for the first 5 minutes will ask the same questions again. And then Rodgers will take the podium, probably the same one. They usually keep the quarterbacks in the same one.
Right.
And then Rodgers will go up there and get all the Favre questions he doesn't want to have anymore.
Sure, right, because that's been asked of him 1,000 times.
Right, and then 25 minutes in, a news reporter from Finland will walk up and ask him the same question, and that's Media Day pretty much.
Wow, that does not
sound like fun. Go ahead.
No, that's just the beginning of the week.
Rich, let me just follow up with one question on that.
Sure.
The players have to hate that. I mean, I would think that I would hate that. If I'm a quarterback and I know that I'm going into that and I know that they're going to repeat the questions and they're not listening and I would hate that. Do they hate it for the most?
You know what? I don't think they view it like going to the dentist office. It is still the Super Bowl, you know.
Sure.
This is, I guess, part of the ritual that you must go through. And just to show you how things have changed, Joe Namath blew it off at Super Bowl III 42 years ago and got fined a couple $100s for missing it. Now you could put a couple zeros on the end of it if anybody dared to blow this off, but they won't. It's just part of the ritual as you go through it. And then, the media availability gets smaller and smaller throughout the week, and players don't have to talk to the media after Thursday morning's their last availability. So
Let's talk about the game for a minute in that although, you know, initially you might think the networks would not be pleased to see the big cities, the Chicago's, the New Yorks and those areas out of it. I mean, these are two teams with rabid fan bases all across America. I bet there's a tremendous amount of interest in Green Bay versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's international too, actually. These are two international football brands, and the Steelers may be the number one international football brand. I mean,
how does that happen?
It just is, to be honest.
They got that black and yellow song, Kevin. How can you not love them?
It also helps that their owner is the ambassador to Ireland as well, you know, so that helps the branding over in the Emerald Isle, where they were popular to begin with, for whatever reason, it's just the case. And there was a survey that I read, although I can't source it, I have no idea who did it, but I read a survey on NFL.com that that it's number one, and these teams are number one and two in terms of women liking the teams.
No kidding.
Most women say they like the Steelers more than any other team, and number two is Green Bay. So the casual fan is going to be into this just as much as the hardcore fan, male and female. So
and that's good news for Big Ben.
Right. Well, makes a lot of new lady fans.
Now that's a question for the Finnish reporter on Tuesday.
That's right. It's hard. I mean, look, I don't like to throw the dynasty word around, and I don't think Pittsburgh's there yet. But, I mean, how impressive is it to be three Super Bowls in 6 years? Is that where we're at right now?
Ben is going to, if he wins, this will be his third ring in his first 7 years of being in the business, which is excellent.
Wow.
It's not as good as Brady, who was three of his first 5 years. But he would have as many rings as Tom Brady. He'd have as many rings as Troy Aikman. He'd have one fewer ring than Montana and Bradshaw, which is saying quite a bit.
No kidding.
You know, and that's part of many of the many storylines that are already forming right now is where do you rank Big Ben in terms of the quarterback pantheon by the fact that he's made his third Super Bowl.
Look, there's no question that he's accomplished it on the field. You can't take anything away from his skills, although some people do argue that he's even now underrated as a quarterback. But in terms of capturing the popular imagination and being the big spokesperson and popular and everything like that, he doesn't compare to the Bradys and the Montanas and the Bradshaws, right?
Well, none of those other quarterbacks were suspended for 4 games for boorish off-the-field behavior.
There is that. Yeah.
That does hurt, yeah.
That is something he's going to have to deal with moving forward. But many players have gotten through off-the-field issues and have risen above it and moved forward. I mean, there's one in Hawaii right now, Michael Vick, who went to prison for 2.5 years. I mean, where he is right now could not be as far away from Leavenworth as you could possibly get.
He just signed his first new endorsement deal since he got out, too, right?
I heard that story. So, Ben, this is, again, this is something he's going to hear throughout the Super Bowl week. But once the games, you know, it gets closer, that'll fade away. And then it just comes down to the X's and O's. And these two teams are really evenly matched on that front.
I know I'm not alone with how impressed I've been with Aaron Rodgers' level of play throughout the playoffs. I mean, he appears to have all the skills you need to be a Hall of Fame quarterback at this stage. I mean, the way he can move and the run and the brain and everything, I mean, he's just incredible.
Yeah, but people are, you know, Marshall Faulk and Deion Sanders, guys that I work with who are going to the Hall of Fame, hopefully on Saturday, because they always announce the newest class of the Hall of Famers the Saturday before the game.
And oh, right.
Both Deion and Marshall are first-time eligible this week. They say that he's got the legs of Vic. I mean, he does have the elusiveness similar to Michael Vick. He really does.
Wow.
He's got an arm like Philip Rivers, an arm like Marino, even with a quick release. He's got the brains of a Brady and a Manning too. So I mean, it's all there. And it's remarkable how he has turned the page on the Favre era, and he is going to hear the F word quite a bit next week.
Sure.
I'm sure he's had enough of that, but that's just part of his story and his journey. And he wins this Super Bowl, then he truly turns the page moving forward.
But you know what? On that particular topic, I mean, I thought at the time, this is a stupid organization to get rid of Favre under any circumstances, and they knew better, and they were right.
Well, just like most divorces, it was messy and handled improperly in many ways publicly. But it was the right time. I mean, if you think about it, it was the right time.
Yep.
Favre still had some gas left in the tank to try something elsewhere, and he darn near made the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
Whereas Rodgers used that first year of seasoning to truly get a grasp on not only the position but the team. And then the last 2 years have culminated in this, too. But if you think about it, I mean, the kid's from Chico, California. He was not recruited by any major colleges. He had to go to Butte Community College for a year where he really learned teamwork and what it's like to put in hard work. And he was found by Cal's coach there only because Jeff Tedford was looking at another player.
Wow.
And then Rodgers became his own man on that campus, sat in the draft room for 3 hours, 4 hours before he was drafted, and then sat for 3 years behind Favre. And then 3 years later, here he is in the Super Bowl. It's a story that a lot of people are going to really enjoy learning if they don't already know it and going to really root for him on Super Sunday.
Let me ask you one non-Super Bowl related question, and that is Jay Cutler. And what has happened with that story? Everybody was questioning, oh, he doesn't look into it. He's not helping out. He looks like he's pouting.
Right.
Deion Sanders on your show was brutal.
Yes.
And I thought, right.
Well, here's the deal, is ever since he's come into the game, he has not cared one whit about what you think of him. And he does not have a single ounce of PR in his body. And, you know, that's fine if that's the way he wants to operate. But in a world that you know, TMZ picks him up walking with his Hills girlfriend up Rodeo Drive.
Right.
3 days after he can't play in the NFC Championship game, but he's right. walking,
yeah.
shopping. I mean, he's got, somebody's got to sit him down and say to him, Jay, you may have, you know, not been able to play, but you've got to have a sense of things, of where you fit in the world. When there's paparazzi following you around and at work, 50 million eyeballs are watching you.
Yeah.
You know, so he's had a PR problem and a public perception problem ever since, and that chicken came home to roost.
I mean,
the guy did have a knee injury. It was a significant knee injury that would have had the Bears come back and won without him, caused him to be questionable for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
that's just if I were sitting
But the
down,
damage
I'd
was
say,
done, I think, right?
I'd say, Jay, you need to get your story out.
Right.
And if you and Kristen Cavallari want to go hit, you know, Cartier.
Get some crutches.
Yeah.
Fake it.
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously. All right, listen. Rich Eisen, NFL Network. It's the best network on TV. Super Bowl pregame show on Sunday, February 6th. Pacific time starts at 6 a.m.
That's not early enough.
Not early enough. And so, I think I really do have to run because the pregame show began now.
Okay.
We understand. You know 60, I mean? 60 hours of live it programming from Texas on the NFL Network. Rich, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for the time.
Same to you guys.
Thank you. Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here once again this hour with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some passes to our very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of a movie called Sanctum. This happens on February the 2nd. It's going to be at the AMC Century City Theater. This is from executive producer James Cameron, who gave us, of course, Avatar in breathtaking 3D. And this one is a 3D underwater adventure. So it's like The Abyss times Avatar minus Alien plus Terminator equals something else.
Ralph, are you sure that James Cameron was involved in The Abyss? I don't remember.
Oh,
you,
stop it.
Do you have any idea?
I think I remember Kevin asking.
Stop
him. Oh, really? Okay.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, I guess he was. Okay.
That's pretty
interesting. Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
If you're not interested in the answer, Kevin, don't ask the question.
I didn't mean it to sound that disinterested.
Yeah. Oh, aren't you something special?
No, I didn't.
Oh, aren't you bragging? No, you asked him.
I know, but I...
It was almost,
it came out
the Abyss, yes. Oh, really? Who cares?
Yeah.
That's almost what it was.
Well, yeah, F you, you should have just
it
said.
It sounds
been
that
cleaner.
Way. I didn't mean
that's
it
That's pretty
that
interesting.
I didn't mean
just
it.
Made that noise. A little right. comedy snore for him.
I didn't mean to.
And if you'd like to see this, it looks just creepy as hell.
Love
We're
it.
Giving away passes. The first five callers, 1-800-520-1067, get a pair of passes to attend the screening. If you don't win today, it's in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 4th, so you can check it out. Charlie Sheen in the news. Apparently, he is back to work today on Two and a Half Men. He was rushed to the hospital Thursday morning after what some are calling a 36-hour drug and porn star party. Some are calling that.
Including some of the porn stars over
yes,
there.
Some of the porn stars are telling TMZ, yeah, it was a drug and porn star party. Allegedly, a briefcase was delivered to Charlie's house that contained bricks of cocaine.
Yeah.
If you need a brick, you might want to look into your cocaine appetites.
Bricks.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a brick.
He was rushed to the hospital with what his representatives are calling a hiatal hernia, which is the valve at the top of your stomach that keeps all the stomach acid from splashing up into your throat and esophagus. Apparently that is herniated on Charlie, and he was getting a little blowback. So... They fixed him
nice.
Up, shipped him up to CBS, and
nice.
Everything's everything. So congratulations to Charlie for once again dancing with death and walking away.
He really does, doesn't he?
Speaking of Charlie, Charlie's Angels are coming back to television. I told you about the reboot that's happening on ABC, and now we've got our Angels in place. Apparently, Annie Ilanza is her name. She was on General Hospital for a period of time, as well as some other TV work.
I don't know her, but I bet she deserves a bell.
She is a lovely African-American actress who's just stunning.
Fantastic.
Rachel Taylor. You've seen her in Transformers. She's the smoking hot blonde. I believe she was the one in the second one who was actually a Decepticon that all kinds of tentacles and stuff started bursting out of her. Remember that when she tried to seduce him in the second one on in the bed at his dorm? Anything that's ringing
oh,
a bell,
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, 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 yes.
I think that's Rachel Taylor. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken. And Minka Kelly.
giggity, giggity, giggity. Yeah.
Friday Night Lights.
She's strong.
She is beautiful, beautiful. Wasn't she named the sexiest woman in the world by Esquire magazine this year?
She was, yeah.
Yep, and they were right.
She's going to be one of Charlie's angels as well. So, new angels.
That's so hot.
New Charlie. The Robert Wagner from Heart to Heart fame.
Don't care.
And from the Austin Powers movies.
Don't care about any other people, just the three.
They're going to be some butt-kicking, ass-whooping, smoking-hot girls.
I wonder how that's going to go over. I wonder if that's going to work in 2011.
Big. Big win,
you
I
think
predict.
So?
I predict big win.
Because of the tone. The movie of the last... I mean, the tone of the last movie, I thought was pretty good. It was fun and just...
It was sort of campy and just, sort of tongue-in-cheek. I think they're going to go straighter with this.
But are they?
It'll be like Alias was, you know? It'll be like that, pretty much. That's what I'm guessing the tone will be.
I'm in.
Sort of a fun adventure spy caper kind of thing. You know, just imagine that times three.
Times three.
Yeah. Speaking of TV shows, Jersey Shore, smash hit here in the United States.
Well, rightfully so.
And MTV is exporting it overseas. The UK is doing their own version of Jersey Shore. It'll happen around the English city of Newcastle upon Tyne.
Is that their version of our New Jersey?
It's a good place to find dullards.
Okay,
that's
good.
For sure. Not the sharpest knives in the drawer.
But this is not built on dull. This is built on incredibly stupid.
Well, they party hard there.
Okay, all right.
In Newcastle as well. They they're just crazy.
Good.
They're known for their hard partying ways, let's say.
All right.
And they're called Geordies.
Geordies.
That's the nickname for the natives there in the Newcastle-upon-Tyne region
of
England. Geordie Shore is what it will be called, and I hope they will subtitle it.
You can't understand
them? I'm not sure. Well, sometimes people have a hard time understanding the British accent as it is.
Correct.
In certain regions. You know, Liverpool, sometimes some of the rougher regions can be a little tough. The Cockney accent, that kind of stuff. The Geordie accent, even the Brits don't understand what the Geordies are saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they better.
I brought in a little bit of the Geordie accent for you so you could listen and see if you will be able to make out what anyone is ever saying on this show.
All right. This lang mac smelled a stagnant old floor cloth. Didn't look no like a scout. Knee short pants, knee berry, knee badges, knee woggle, knee nout. He went into the cupboard under the stairs. Me dad looks and says, "Mind your head."
I'm not kidding. I didn't like
what.
It's not something played backwards. That's not something that's been edited.
Why don't they just speak English?
That's people speaking English.
I heard stairs.
I heard knee.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
It's,
wow.
It's basically just noise that that's comes out of their mouths.
That's the most weird thing I've ever heard.
So that'll be challenging.
This lang mac smelled a stagnant old floor cloth. Didn't look no like a scout.
Yeah.
No idea.
That is English.
No idea
He's
what that is.
Speaking English.
Wow.
You ever seen a series called Alan Partridge? I'm Alan Partridge.
Oh,
it was a
British
comedy
one?
Series starring Steve Coogan. You know Steve Coogan? He was in the other guys with Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yeah.
He played the bad guy in that British actor. You've seen him in a lot of stuff. He was the star of a show about a morning DJ host, who is getting divorced, and he lives in a hotel, and the guy who's the maintenance guy at the hotel is a Geordie. And one of the running jokes was, I have no idea what you're saying. This is just noise that's coming out of your mouth. It was a very funny running gag. But
this lang mac smelled a stagnant old floor cloth. Didn't look no like a scout.
Yeah. Didn't look new like a scout.
All right.
Inviting everybody to come out tomorrow night to come see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk. 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Come join us for cocktails, food, and the occasional chuckle, we like to think. You can go to
BabylonRalph.com
if you want to check it out. We'd love to see you there. Today's celebrity birthdays.
When Ralph drinks, he just gets funnier.
Oh, man. I was really drunk at the last one. Smith gets stoned and I get drunk, which makes for a fascinating pairing. Yeah. And we were talking about Chet Hayes, Tom Hanks' son, who is a rapper.
The rapper,
And we did a spontaneous rap-off using titles of Tom Hanks movies in the most filthy way we could think of back and forth for about 15 minutes. And
you don't know if it was funny, but
I have no idea, but it was so enjoyable just to do that. Today's celebrity birthday is Alan Alda. Alan Alda. I'm speaking like a Geordie. Alan Alda is 75 years old today. Sarah McLachlan is 43. DJ Muggs from Cypress Hill, yo.
All right.
He's 43 as well. Catherine Mars from Cold Case is 42. Joey Fatone from NSYNC turns 34. Nick Carter of Backstreet Boys is 31. And Elijah Wood, our little Gelf. He wasn't a Gelf.
I don't think so.
He wasn't a Hobbit.
He was a Hobbit. That's what he was, and he's going to be the Hobbit. The next two Hobbit movies. He's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Black Keys on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I don't think we mentioned this when Cage the Elephant was on earlier, but they're going out on tour with the Black Keys. That's a great double bill right there. So check it out. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Our friend Psycho Mike Catherwood not here today because he's in New York City where he co-hosted the Regis and Kelly Show. Mike was Regis today. He has successfully completed it, and he joins us on the show live from New York right now. Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm sorry, I don't respond to Michael. I am Cinnamon Regis, and that's all.
Cinnamon Regis. First of all, Mike, at what time did you finally realize you were going to make it to New York City? Didn't you have, like, hours and hours and hours of delays yesterday, even just trying to get into there because of all the snow?
Yeah, it was crazy. They booked me on a really, really early flight yesterday, knowing that there was probably going to be some trouble. And then it got, you know, knocked back an hour. Then it was delayed 2 hours, then 3 hours. And all the flights around me on the, you know, the little board, the kiosk there, were getting canceled to New York City. So I was telling myself, hey, there's just no chance I'm getting there. But lo and behold, I did. But about, you know, 5-6 hours later than I originally planned, I made it to New York City.
Unbelievable. So late night into the city last night, then you're up bright and early to be on the Regis and Kelly Show. We only saw a little bit of it because it's on, you know, right now. But how did you feel it went for you?
It's hard to tell. You never know. I mean, it felt okay, which is a good sign. I didn't feel like it was awkward or anything. And I mean, everybody, I know it sounds, you know, super cheesy and cliche.
They're showing the video of you in your workout.
Oh, my God.
Red, white, and huge.
Yeah, thank you for that. Right there.
That was Omar. You can thank Omar. He's the one who sent them the red, white, and huge video to put on national television, Mike.
Yeah. You hate that more than anything in life, don't you?
I didn't appreciate that at all. Bordering on suicide when you guys actually filmed that. So it's great that you displayed that to everybody.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I think I played it off all right. I thought like that was gonna like get engender me to the housewives of the world. It turns out I've just checked my Facebook. I have like 7,000 friend requests from super buff gay guys.
Well, that makes you happy, so everything's perfect.
Yeah, right. It's a win-win. Now, Mike, we're going to go through the tape on Monday. Obviously, we couldn't do it today because the show's on at the same time as ours. But is this true? Did you show some sort of a boudoir photography of you laying on your couch with dogs all over your crotch? And if so, why?
It was like a glam shot.
If so, why not?
Because you have weeny little dogs, and you're by yourself, and it's like a glam shot in your underwear. No wonder men think you're gay.
Kevin, listen to me, and listen close, buddy. They wanted to...
You showed that on purpose.
They wanted to have talking points about me as a person, the real me.
Fine.
And is there any way to mention... My existence without my dogs, who I love so much.
Oh, but
you've got to regret that decision, Mike. You just do. All right, we have to ask about this because it's been a media firestorm lately with the men in radio competition and Psycho Mike filling in for Regis and Kelly today. He's on the phone with us right now from New York. And you were interviewed by, of all people, Channel 7 in Los Angeles, KABC Television in Los Angeles. And, of course, this was before you went to New York, and they were asking for your perception, impressions on what was likely to happen. Let's listen to what Mike said. Said then, and let's now that he's done the show, see if it came true.
I believe it's going to be pure romance when I do. At the end of the day, I just hope that my desire and the pure, unadulterated passion that I have for Kelly Ripa doesn't overwhelm me, and that I'm still capable of doing my job properly without looking like too much of a love-struck idiot.
How'd that work out for you? Did you hit that?
I didn't. And I really think that there was something there, though. I really feel like there was a jumping-off point. And then I came around the corner in the hallway out of the green room, and Mark Consuelos, her husband, introduced himself to me.
Oops.
He didn't seem to be too happy with me putting the moves on.
Yeah. So what? How does that bother you, man? You're making your moves. You got moves to make. You don't care about Consuelo.
No, the only problem was that now I had to put the moves on Mark Consuelos.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
Again, we're going to get into this more on Monday when we have more time and more tape, but how did it go with Bryan Adams, one of the A-plus level guests that you had lined up for the show today?
He was pretty cool, man. And I didn't have to interview him that much. He just performed, and he did, like, acoustic versions of it and of like, his hits. And then I went and I talked to him in between the song, and he was telling me how the guitar he was using belonged to Johnny Cash, so that just sent me over the edge, and then we started talking about Johnny Cash.
Did you ask him what's wrong with his face?
Funny enough, Kevin, I didn't bring that up.
You didn't bring that up? Hey, what's wrong with your face?
I didn't say, Brian Adams, what's wrong with your face?
Come on, you see, as far as I'm concerned, they picked the wrong guy from this show to be on Regis then. It should have been Kevin. All right, last question. How'd it go with Brooke Shields? That was your other guest. And is she beautiful in person?
Yeah, she is. She's way, way, way good-looking in person. And super tall, which only made me feel bad because, you know, I'm going to be around people so much taller than me, you know, hanging out with you two.
Did you nail her?
No, but I did. In between breaks, get a little stinky pinky.
Very nice.
Very
glad
nice
to hear that.
I hope that'll do for you, Kevin.
That's good enough.
As you were leaving and they were saying, you know, great job, nice to meet you and stuff, did you get the sense that they meant it, or were they just being polite and they couldn't wait to escort you out of the building?
You've done tons of stuff. It's like they're going to tell you, great job, we really loved you,
no matter what. Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to get a sense for. I honestly feel like it went well, you know.
Okay, all right.
I really do.
From what I've seen, you shouldn't be so happy.
Rein in some of that enthusiasm until you see it for yourself.
I'm just joking. Mike,
time out.
I'm just joking.
I don't care what you say.
All right.
Lisa, how do you think I look?
I thought you looked handsome and did a wonderful job. Honestly.
Hey, you know Lisa's the nicest person on the show.
I'm genuine. Right. I thought he was awesome.
All right.
Mike, the truth is, you know, we've been supportive of you this whole time, ever since the Men in Radio thing came up. We're very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
Haven't had a chance to watch the show because it's on now, but it looked like you did a great job and had a lot of fun. We can't wait to see you back here on Monday, dude.
Well, I really appreciate it, and in all seriousness, you guys have been so supportive, not just with this, but with everything, and I can't wait to get back home and see you guys. So
we are the best.
Thank you for everything.
We really are the best.
Have a good flight, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mike.
All right. So we've got Kevin Bean listener Edna on the line. I'm so excited. I don't even care why Edna is on the line, because all chicks named Edna are hot.
All chicks named Edna are 100.
I am in love with Edna.
Edna that I've ever known was my great grandmother.
I want to date a chick named Edna and her twin sister Millicent. I want them both. But anyway, Edna is on the line because we're going to debut a new feature here, or revisit it. It's been a long time since we've discussed. Kevin and Bean ruined my life.
The Kevin and Bean Show, it ruined your life. It really screwed things up. It really screwed things up. The Kevin and Bean Show, it ruined your life. It really screwed things up. It ruined my life. Kevin and Bean are giant dicks. Whose life did they ruin now?
Hey, wait a minute.
Edna, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm doing good. And for the record, I am named after my sister's best friend's grandma.
There you go.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And how old are you, Edna?
Are you 100?
No, I'm 26.
26, all right.
26, okay.
Is that a all tough right name to grow up with, honestly?
I've gotten Mr. Ed
yeah
a lot growing up.
Sure.
And then when The Simpsons got really big, you know, it's Edna Krabappel.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it's been rough.
Yeah.
All right, Edna, tell us why you wrote to us and how Kevin and Bean ruined your life.
Well, it's mostly thanks to watching The Human Centipede.
Oh, God, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, The Human Centipede is a movie that we put the Kevin and Bean stamp of endorsement on when it came out. Even before it came out, we had the director on. We started talking about it. We all saw it. It's one of the most inventive and original horror movies in a long time. If you missed The Human Centipede, listen to the trailer. You'll get an idea of the film that we're talking about here.
We are on a road trip through Europe.
Yeah.
Can you call the emergency car service?
Siamese triplet connected via the gastric system. The Human Centipede, the sequence. We start with cutting the ligaments of the kneecap.
What is this? What are you doing to us?
Yeah! How could that be bad?
Oh,
how could that
so
be bad?
Awful.
Edna?
It's horrible.
So what does this have to do with Kevin and Bean? You put it on your Netflix queue because you'd heard us raving about it?
Yeah, well, I heard you guys talking about it. And I was, I'm never going to watch it because I'm not going to go out and rent it. And then someone tells me, oh, it's on Netflix Instant Watch. So I added
right.
It sat there for a while.
Uh-huh.
And this weekend was like my birthday weekend, so I had a few days off. And I'm like, I'm going to watch it. And I told my friend, I'm watching it.
This is my birthday gift to me.
Yeah. And she's watching it with me from her house. Halfway through the movie, she asked me, why are we doing this? And I said, because we're loyal Kevin and Bean fans.
But haven't you learned anything from listening to our show? You don't do what we say.
Well, if I've been listening for this long, it's obvious I'm not going to learn anything.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, Edna, Bean has been pressing me so hard to watch this movie.
I'm browbeating you.
Yeah, every one of us loves it. We're telling you it's great. You will love it. I refuse to watch it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm so glad to hear your reaction.
But it isn't as gross as it sounds.
It's not. The thing is, it's not a gory movie.
Right.
They don't
it's
show
just
you a lot.
It sounds horrifying. Like it's pure gore, but it isn't.
But it's horrifying.
Well, in that he does do surgery and make a human centipede. Mouth to ass. I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's a negative.
It is.
Okay. But let me ask you
this.
Is that
what you're looking for in life?
I get that when you were watching it, you felt suckered in and duped and you regretted it and you hated us and all that. But admit it, because this is the same thing that happened to me. You're horrified as you're watching it, but you can't stop thinking about it. And in the days after seeing the human centipede, you really grow to appreciate it and think, hey, that was a really, really entertaining movie.
I was thinking more of how much is therapy.
Yes, and how you can't get it out of your mind, and all you want to do is get it out of your mind.
Edna wrote in her email that she wanted to watch something a little more lighthearted like Schindler's List.
Yeah. And she also closed her email. Again, subject line, Kevin and Bean ruined my life. She closed the email, F you very much, Edna.
Edna.
So, well,
I support you, Edna.
Look,
I'm sorry if we steered you wrong, but I think you're better off for seeing the human centipede. I really do.
You know, it's the best diet plan because I was eating before I saw the movie. And I had some sandwich left. I was like, you know what? I'm throwing it away.
See?
Yeah.
See, so we actually helped your life.
Exactly.
You're welcome, Edna.
Thanks for listening. Dear Kevin and Bean, Sarah writes in, I saw The Human Centipede last week also. It's the first movie I've seen in 2011. I can't even express the complete disgust I felt after the scene where the guy in the A position had to evacuate his bowels. Thanks, Kevin and Bean, your formerly loyal listener, Sarah.
So all right, listen, it's not for everyone.
Listen,
it's not
for everyone. If you heard Kevin and Bean talking about the movie, right. And then you went either to see it and or rent it and or download it or watch it on Netflix, bad on you.
That's on you.
No, good on you, because we helped
Kevin
you.
Kevin and Bean talk about it. I said, well, that's a movie I'll never see, ever.
You because you don't like quality.
You came to the opposite conclusion.
Right. I used my own brain, my own powers of reasoning. I listened to what you two said, and I recognized that in my best interest, I would do the exact opposite.
But you discount what we say as a normal.
That is my default position, yes.
Right, okay.
But in this particular case, it proved to be very useful.
You understand it's your loss, though, that you are worse for not having seen The Human Centipede. You get that, though.
I do not accept that statement as true.
Okay. All right. Time for our final showbiz beat of the week. What do you got for us?
From a guy who knows nothing about showbiz. Tell you that right now.
Well, I know better than to watch The Human Centipede. I'll tell you that much.
I like Sarah Palin.
We found that out about Tracy Morgan last night. I don't know if you caught the NBA pregame show on TNT. But Charles Barkley.
He's the best.
Chuckles the Clown. Decided it would be a good idea to engage Tracy Morgan in a conversation on live television. I don't know what would possess him to think that.
Because he knows Tracy Morgan crazy.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, Tracy, what do you think about Sarah Palin? Do you think she's all pretty and whatnot?
Here's what
Sarah Palin's good looking, isn't she? Yo, let me tell you something about Sarah Palin, man. She's good masturbation material. Glasses and all of that. Great masturbation material.
Hey, let's get back to basketball.
Glasses and all that.
He did say glasses and all that.
The glasses automatically make her, you know.
He's got a splatter fantasy.
Wow.
Oh.
We were talking about this earlier today.
To ruin everything.
Thank God it's Friday.
Sarah Palin is attractive enough to be a mental fodder, but she's not at all sexy. She doesn't dress sexy, act sexy, be sexy, or anything like that. So she's got the natural resources, but she's wasting them, I think.
Yeah.
She's not sexy enough to be mental either.
She would be if she wasn't so hateable.
No,
I think she could work it
governor,
and look hot.
If I'm thinking about
for a governor,
if I'm trying to go through my Rolodex of governors of who I'm going to actually spank it to.
If those are the only people that you
then
can,
yes, yeah, she's on the list. But you know what? There are women outside of politics. Turns out there's hundreds and thousands of women that I would have to get through before I got to Sarah Palin.
All right, but she's on the list.
I'm so tired of people telling me how sexy she is without adding the disclaimer.
For a
former governor from Alaska.
Yeah.
If you took all the governors of Alaska and put them in a room, yes, she'd probably be the hottest one.
All right.
Come on, people now.
I'm sorry, I have an erection.
All right. I'm sorry you have an erection, too. Kim Kardashian is rich and famous.
Yeah.
But she says to Piers Morgan on CNN that she doesn't keep everything she makes, you know. She's a very charity-minded person.
Okay.
She donates 10% of everything she earns to charity, she says.
That's nice.
Her favorite causes include an organization called the Dream Foundation. I saw them at the Troop, by the way. They're great.
Good. Yeah.
And a church that was founded by her mom, Kris Jenner.
What?
Listen, well, listen, if you're funneling off 10% of your income into some sham church that your mom set up as a tax dodge, I don't think that really counts as charity. God, that's effing shaky. Oh, yeah, my mom started a church. I send her a lot of money. I bet you do. It's a church in the Cayman Islands. Call account number 61443007169. Our Lady of the Hidden Income. You think you're fooling Kim Kardashian? Andrew Garfield's bitching again. This guy the movie hasn't come out and he's already bitching.
Who's he now?
He's the new Spider-Man.
Okay.
This was the guy who a couple weeks ago said, gosh, I hope I never, I don't blow up. I hope I don't get popular. I hope I stay a struggling artist because that's what's important to me. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be rich and famous. Well, then maybe you don't take on the role of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If you want to do, if you want to do Shakespeare in a black box theater in Harlem.
Do that.
Do that. But you know, you're not going to stay a struggling unknown actor by being Spider-Man.
And The Social Network, too, by the way. The movie had enough pedigree before he joined it to know it was going to be popular.
Now he's complaining because he had to get into shape for Spider-Man.
Oh.
He said, I would do almost anything to avoid the gym. I'm not sporty and have no self-discipline. So it was a real chore for him to have to get into shape to play Spider-Man. Listen, dude, I've seen the photos from the set. You're not in that great shape. You're skinny Spider-Man.
Take it easy.
Spider-Man could use a sandwich. So, don't you succeeded on that level, Andrew Garfield. Damn. People.
Yeah. People. I mean, he's essentially getting paid to get in shape. He's got, I'm sure, a full staff to help him do it.
Oh, how many of us would love to have 3 months where they said, you know what, you don't need to do anything. We're going to send you a trainer, and we're going to send you a chef, and they're going to whip you into shape for 3 months. That's all you need to do. You get up every morning, it's all you need to concern yourself with is working out and eating right.
Yeah, don't bitch about that.
That'd be heaven.
Seems like it'd be pretty cool.
My wife would be happier if that happened to me. I know that for sure. Oh, trouble in the Jersey Shore.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, they're heading to Italy for the next season of the Jersey Shore. Well, Ronnie may have some trouble getting there.
Oh, why?
Well, as you may remember, Ronnie punched a guy in the face during season one.
Right.
Knocked him out. Got arrested for that.
Oh.
Those charges have still yet to be dismissed. And if he's convicted of assault, he won't be able to get a visa to go to Italy. We'll have to leave him behind.
Show can't go on without him.
No, because he is
he's Ronnie.
That one who does that.
Whichever one
that
he is.
Thing.
Yeah.
He's one of the GTL guys.
He's the one of the guys who gets tan and works out. Right.
And they're sure not interchangeable.
No, they're not.
Not a bit.
But good news for American Idol fans. Watch Idol last night, Kevin?
No.
Did you watch it? The national auditions?
No.
So good. So good.
So good.
No.
So
stop good. It.
A former Miss Teen USA named Stormy auditioned last night.
All right.
She
now you're talking
does
my
not
language.
Sing well.
Oh. No, she doesn't.
But it didn't matter to Randy Jackson and Steven Tyler, I tell you that much. You're like, you're going to Hollywood!
Really?
Yeah, you're through! And Jennifer Lopez is like, what? What? Seriously? So
and how ironic is that, that Jennifer Lopez would be turning an eye to somebody getting a record contract or a deal because they're beautiful and not because they're a great singer?
Yeah. She said, her voice is weak. I was like, kettle, pot, mirror. I don't know why I was coughing. She can't hear me through the
That's
television.
That's true. But, yeah. A lot of talent last night, though, in Nashville. You got to admit,
a lot of talent. Was a lot of talent. This week's editions of the show are down only 5% from last week's premiere episode. That is significant news because last year, during the same premiere to second week comparison, the show dropped double digits in ratings.
Oh, wow.
People were getting off the boat early last year. So Fox is very happy. People are sticking around. The numbers still aren't up to what they were, but they're still very strong. It won the night and is doing very well for Fox. So.
I think it's fun. That's what's back. Last year was kind of a drudgery, I thought. Yeah. This year seems like it's fun. Everybody's having a good time.
I agree.
And if there's one thing we know, it's that Bean loves fun.
I do love fun. That's what
he's
I'm about.
He's like a birthday clown. You're noticing he's just...
Sometimes it's too much fun.
He always carries balloon and a bike pump so he can just make an animal for some kids and stuff. He's just... It's like being around Mr. Sunshine.
It gets old. We're like, dude, you can't be this happy all the time.
Sometimes we just have to tell them to stop with all the fun.
Easy, bozo.
And congrats. Getting serious once in a while.
Wow. Congratulations to our pal Tony Canal of No Doubt. He's a dad. Oh, he and his girlfriend Erin welcomed a baby girl into the world last week. It's their first child, and the couple have named her Coco.
Coco.
Coco Reese Lakshmi Canal.
Ah.
Okay.
Is that going to speed up or slow down the No Doubt album?
They're currently working on the new album as we speak.
I know. Is this going to speed up or slow?
Well, Tony will have to take breaks to breastfeed.
Okay.
But other than that, right. I think we should be on schedule
Stay
for the
at
new
work.
No Doubt record.
That's all I'm saying.
So, looking forward to it.
Stay at work.
Today's celebrity birthdays are as follows. Arielle Winter from Modern Family is 13 years old today. Elijah Wood, The Hobbit, is 30. Nick Carter of Backstreet Boys is 31. Joey Fatone of NSYNC celebrates his 34th birthday. Catherine Morris from Cold Case on CBS, she's 42. Rapper Rakim celebrates his 43rd birthday today. DJ Muggs of Cypress Hill is also 43, as is Sarah McLachlan. And legendary TV actor Alan Alda celebrates his 75th birthday. He, of course, from MASH. And most recently seen as Jack Donaghy's real dad on
that's
30
right.
Rock.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
When he came to him looking for a kidney. That's a great episode. He's 75 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, an all-new program. We have Jason Statham. This time we mean it, though.
No, I might wake up and
the
talk
mechanic?
To you guys. Yeah,
we're going to go through Psycho Mike's performance on Regis and Kelly.
Oh!
And we're going to tell you about the Mexican gangs and how they're catapulting pot into America. They're using catapults.
Is the executioner doing that?